feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live at the Jubilant Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California.
We have two-way Doppler, and tomorrow is in orbit around the planet Mars.
The sounds of celebration as word came an hour ago that the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter is indeed in orbit around the red planet. James Graff, the project manager, says everything went perfectly.
Oh, I am very relieved. It was picture perfect. I mean, we could not have scripted something better.
Right now, the spacecraft is in an elliptical orbit. Eventually, the orbit will become nearly circular. Scientists here can now get ready for their most detailed study ever of Mars. The high-resolution camera on board the spacecraft will be able to show formations on Mars as small as a desk. I'm Steve Futterman at Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Now with more CBS News, here's Cammy McCormick.
Former Dick Cheney chief of staff Louis Libby, charged in the leak of a CIA operative's name, has won a legal victory. A judge today ordered the CIA to turn over to Libby highly classified intelligence briefings. The CIA has argued that could threaten the nation's security.
I would be shocked if we don't quickly see an appeal here by prosecutors by the White House. This is almost certainly going to evolve into a big fight over executive privilege and national security, and usually those fights don't get resolved until the U.S. Supreme Court gets involved.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Backlash to the controversy over whether a Dubai firm should be allowed to run U.S. ports. There are worries it could negatively impact Arab investment here. And now trade talks between the U.S. and the UAE have been postponed, although both sides downplay any connection, as correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Both the United Arab Emirates government and the U.S. say putting off Monday's trade talks is not connected to the forced collapse of the Dubai port deal. Nina Morzani of the U.S. Trade Representative's office says there's nothing unusual about the delay.
Just in the past few months, we've postponed rounds with Ecuador three times, Panama twice, and Colombia once.
But there's also no question the furor over the ports issue has caused ripples in the Gulf, and some of the Arab companies and governments that invest billions of dollars in oil money back into the U.S. are having second thoughts. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
It was called Operation Community Shield, and as correspondent Barry Bagnato reports, its aim was to bust up violent gangs.
Dallas, San Diego, Washington, Miami, four of the cities where in the last 2 weeks 375 alleged gang members have been arrested in a federal sweep. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff.
Never before has the federal government used all of its immigration, customs, and criminal authorities in one coordinated fashion in the fight against violent gangs.
Among those colored, Leobardo Villarreal, wanted for shooting a federal agent, his father a convicted murderer, and a member of the Serranos gang accused of a baseball bat beating inside a North Carolina Walmart. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 104 points, and the NASDAQ Composite Index was higher by 12. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Jerry Rice.
Starting at wide receiver.
I'm ready for some football.
All-time record holder and Tiger Balm's biggest fan.
Huh?
Especially Tiger Balm's new pain-relieving patch.
The patch works for me.
Just apply the advanced hydrogel patch and Tiger Balm goes deep. Deep into aching muscles and joints. Tiger Balm's been around almost as long as...
Hey, watch it, pal.
Number 80, Jerry Rice.
Take a tip from me. Go for the Balm, Tiger Balm, and put the Tiger in your team.
Available at drugstores everywhere.
This year, you'll drive to 42 baseball practices, 3 doctor's appointments, 4 parent-teacher conferences, 22 sleepovers, 6 birthday parties, 15 trips to the video store, 8 dentist appointments, 31 haircuts, 29 trips to the mall, 2 trips to grandma's, 17 soccer practices, and 1 piano recital. With your schedule, you rely on your car for a lot. So make sure it gets the maintenance it needs at a Napa Auto Care Center. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Some positive economic news. Hiring is up. Employers have added about 250,000 jobs. Federal inspectors have gone through the West Virginia mine where 12 workers died back in January, and they've deemed it safe. Production at the Sago mine may resume next week. Tomorrow's the anniversary of the courthouse shootings in Atlanta in which 4 people were killed. CBS News reporter Jim Crisula was there as courthouse employees spent today reflecting.
With portraits of Judge Roland Barnes, court reporter Julie Brandow, and Sheriff's Deputy Hoyt Teasley resting on easels in front of them, the Fulton County Courthouse family gathered to remember their friends and co-workers. Ministers of the three offered words of prayer, praise, and comfort. The music was somber, but still uplifting, the lighting subdued. It's said that time heals, but it's evident that for these people, more time is needed.
Osama bin Laden's niece has reportedly signed a deal to develop a reality show. She's an aspiring singer. The show would focus on her life in New York. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
You're now seeing live pictures of a lunar module.
And here they are all the way from Liverpool.
There are thousands marching on Washington as
a generation as unique as this needs a new generation of personal financial planning. We are the personal advisors of Ameriprise Financial, formerly American Express Financial Advisors. To set up an appointment with a local financial advisor today, call 1-800-AMERIPRISE. That's 1-800-263-7477.
Ameriprise Financial Services, member NASD and SIPC.
We've got one word for Friday nights on NBC. Great. Great deal. Deal or no deal. The hit game show keeps rocking the country. Great place. Las Vegas. TV's hottest show is now on Friday.
Friday just became your lucky day.
Great drama. Conviction. The new series critics are calling the year's hippest and hottest new show. A great Friday night. Deal or no deal. Vegas and Conviction. All new NBC tonight.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 6 minutes past the hour on this soggy Friday afternoon. And we are live on KRXA 540, serving Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. And today we are not on KGOE in Eureka because they have a women's finals basketball contest on. So it's just you and me, Central Coast. And we got a power-packed show for you. We'll kick off our first hour with our military and veterans affairs advisor, Scott Dick. He'll be joining me in just a moment. Next hour, Dr. David Wilmot, who is co-founder of Ocean Champions and who's based in Capitola, will join us. We're going to talk about political approaches to protecting our oceans. He's got a plan. Coming up at 4:30, the Reverend Barry Lynn. He is an ordained minister and also a lawyer who's head of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And he's the host of Culture Shocks every weeknight at 6 p.m. here on KRXA. Barry Lynn will join us at 4:30. We're going to talk about the new initiatives by the president to put more money, more taxpayer money, into faith-based programs. That's what he calls them. And we hope to have a call from Assemblymember John Laird in our 5 o'clock segment. He is one of the key members negotiating with the governor over this expansive and expensive infrastructure bond package. And if he can break away from those negotiations in the Stogie tent at the Capitol, he'll be joining us just after 5 o'clock. And our weekly visit with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. He's got oodles of news items about electronic voting. And I'll just tease you with this one. In one Texas county in Tuesday's primary, the electronic voting machines posted 100,000 extra votes. Oh, yeah, they're reliable. Oh, yeah. Unhackable, you bet. So if you'd like to join the conversation, it's a Central Coast exclusive today. 831-899-5792 is my number. That's 831-899-KRXA. And you can drop me an email, peter@krxa540.com. That's peter@krxa540.com. We'll get to Scott Dick in just a moment. But if this were a TV program where you could see me, you would see this smile on my face, and I might even break out into a little awkward dance because I am rhythm impaired. But the delightful news out of Washington today is that a member of the wrecking crew is stepping down. Gail Norton has spent the last 5 years doing the bidding of corporate America, the oil, the timber, the mining interests in this country, as Bush's Secretary of the Interior. She's a protege of James Watt, who performed the same damaging function during the Reagan years. And she announced that she's going back to the mountains. She's from Colorado.
And I just imagine I would even throw in a few bucks to pay for a retirement home for her. Just downwind from the Rocky Flats nuclear power station. It's been decommissioned, but it's still radioactive. And that's just one of the vistas that she could enjoy as part of her legacy. And I'll briefly share with you that I had one interview with Gail Norton. It was on April 23rd of 2004. And it was Earth Day that year. And I had her on the program, and I was nice to her for about 2 minutes. I let her get some of her talking points out. And then I lowered the boom on a bunch of issues that I thought were important and that she had failed to address in many previous interviews, not with me, but with others. And so from my bulletin board, I pulled down this printout of an email that I received the next day, pardon me, from her communications specialist, Ron Tull. And it reads, it was sent to my producer, "It's unfortunate that Mr. Collins was not interested in what the secretary had to say. His style was the epitome of ambush journalism, simply reading out loud charges from various op-ed columns and then demanding that the secretary answer to them. Small wonder you probably don't get many cabinet-level officials on your show. I am embarrassed that I associated my secretary with this program." And in a phone message, he said that we shouldn't bother to ask for any future interviews with Gail Norton. And now I don't have to worry about that, because she has stepped down. So bye-bye, Gail Norton, and I can just imagine that Bush has somebody even worse ready to take that position as soon as the 1st of April. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and as we get ready for Scott Dick, our military and veterans affairs contributor, a somber note. In the 51st state of occupied Iraq, we have reached a somber new milestone. We passed the 2,300 mark in U.S. fatalities. And as of today, 2,305 American service members have lost their lives in this futile, unnecessary war in Iraq. And Scott Dick, who served in the Army and retired as a major, joins us on the program today. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm sorry to report the 2,300 mark, and we have many other issues to discuss this hour about the posture of the war, the conduct of it, and the continual misrepresentation of the truth by people like Donald Rumsfeld and Secretary Condoleezza Rice, who were on Capitol Hill yesterday, feeding the Republicans, who are quite receptive, a lot of happy talk about Iraq and fielding some tough questions from Democrats.
Well, let's talk about Rumsfeld for a second.
Sure.
There's a poll just recently published in the Army Times, written by a lieutenant colonel who called it the Climate Command Survey. I think that's a misprint. Normally they call them Command Climate Surveys, and what they do is they take them in commands, for example, battalions and brigades.
Mm-hmm.
And divisions at about the 6-month point and at about the 18th month point. And these are anonymous surveys conducted inside the command by researchers trying to figure out, you know, the command climate, the battalion or brigade commander, the division commander, their sergeant major, the senior NCOs, what's the leadership like, how do they present themselves, are they competent, are they incompetent, are they sexual harassers, or do they have racial problems, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he wrote a command climate survey on Rumsfeld, and I think the results are pretty interesting. Question, we are absolutely on the right track. I think we are on the right track. And all respondents reported 40%. Active duty said 40%, that's a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Army reported 28% yes. And if you look at across the board, Navy was 53, Air Force 46, Marine Corps 53, and you go by grade, it's funny because active 04 and 06s, which is the actual brains of those are majors to colonels, the brains of the Army, 38% said yes. Military retirees polled said 36% yes. And as when you get to the no's are much stronger. I'm not sure we're on the right track. We're absolutely on the wrong track. Absolutely on the wrong track, or I think we're on the wrong track. Active Army was 44%, military retirees 32%.
Mm-hmm.
So civilian contractors 32%. All right, so that's in Iraq. That's the war on terrorism.
Right.
Next
well,
question.
Wait a minute. That's the war in Iraq.
War in Iraq, sorry. You're right. Should Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld keep his job? All respondents, yes, 29%.
Wow.
Right. Active duty, 31%. No, 57%. Active Army, 20%. No, 70%. Am I making sense here?
Yeah.
And it just, that's, for the Navy, it's 50-34. Active Air Force, 37-46. There's a bunch of people who are afraid of being pulled. They have no opinion. I know I've never met a soldier yet who admitted to having no opinion. But that's somewhere between 3% and 12% mm-hmm. who reported no opinion. And then you get down into the, well, so that's the take on Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Let me pause there, Scott, because we're up against a break here.
Okay.
And we'll come back with more of these stats in just a moment. We'll talk about the testimony from Rice and Rumsfeld on Capitol Hill yesterday. And Scott Dix here until 4 o'clock. So if you're in the military or you are retired or you're just fascinated by these issues, we welcome your participation. You can call the program at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. 16 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back after a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Is what you're doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyer every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
This Sunday on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Linda Gerchick, CCIM. She'll explain why Phoenix, Arizona is the best place to invest in. Hear how she's helped thousands of people increase their net worth by investing in Arizona real estate. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, now heard from Big Sur to Eureka and out to Stockton. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs, every Sunday morning at 10. Check us out on the web at www.rockrollinrealestate.com.
If you own a Volvo and you want quality repairs and great service at a fair price, then take your Volvo to Hunt's Auto Repair in Seaside. They only work on Volvos, and they can do any needed service and repair, including all factory-recommended maintenance. Owner Mike Brooks is a Volvo-certified and factory-trained technician with over 16 years' experience. Mike's partner, Tracy, is also a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Many Volvo owners in the area already know and trust Tracy to take care of their Volvos.
Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside, is a locally owned and family-operated full-service Volvo repair shop, where Mike and I feature honest, quality service at a fair price.
Bring your Volvo to us, and we'll do everything possible to ensure that you leave satisfied and fully informed about your Volvo. Remember, that's Hans Auto Repair, 384 Olympia Avenue, Seaside. For more info, give us a call at 583-9820.
That's 583-9820.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236, 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236. It's the Peter B. Collins Show here on KRXA 540. We're talking with Scott Dick, our military and veterans affairs contributor. And you can call us at 899-KRXA, 831-899-KRXA. And Scott Dick, just before the break, you were sharing some fascinating results from a poll of active and retired military members of various branches. Tell us a little bit about the source of the poll and how many people were surveyed, if you have that info available.
I don't have that handy, but I can get it for you later, Peter, if you want, or Peter, people could go to the, you know, send me an email and I could dig it up for them. But let's just talk about this briefly. Mm-hmm. Because I just want to slow down now and go by the numbers. So
right.
Should Secretary of Defense of Donald Rumsfeld, Defense Secretary of Donald Rumsfeld, keep his job? Those who answered no, active Army were 70%, active Navy 34%, which surprises me.
Yeah, that's a big gap.
Active Air Force 46%, active Marine Corps 59%. I think it could be because the impact that Rumsfeld's decisions have really affects the Army above the rest of the services,
mm-hmm.
and the Marine Corps the next, and that reflects the next biggest number. Army National Guard, 60%, military retirees, and they're a conservative bunch, I have to tell you, 76%.
Wow.
And civilian contractors, 61%.
Has anybody told Bush?
But see, Rumsfeld answers that he doesn't believe polls, and neither does Bush.
Uh-huh.
And this is a command climate survey, which is a little bit different than just polling. This gives people a chance to speak their mind about what the unit is like.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, a retired lieutenant colonel put this together and then polled the folks that answered the poll.
And do you have any history, even just in broad terms, about these types of attitudes in previous surveys?
No, I haven't seen this. This is the first time I've seen this. This is what makes this interesting. The idea that we're absolutely on the wrong track has huge numbers, as far as I'm concerned, by everybody. Active Army, active Navy, active Air Force, 44%, 28%. These numbers are big.
Yeah.
32% for retirees and civilian contractors, National Guard, 30%, that we're absolutely on the wrong track.
Mm-hmm.
So this BS that the Department of Defense is putting out that, you know, our troops are happy, morale is high, we got the highest retention, highest recruiting ever, blah, blah, blah. It just speaks to the fact that they really don't care about the troops. They don't care about what the troops think. And it's the Pentagon spokesman, Brian Whitman, said, remember the poll we talked about last week?
Sure, I do.
He said he wasn't familiar with the specifics of the poll, but he said the results aren't surprising. Service members deployed would obviously, even when they understand the importance of what they're doing, rather be home. Whitman said, I don't think anybody is getting alarmed over any one poll.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a disgusting slap in the face to our troops that they didn't deploy there voluntarily, and the administration keeps trotting them out, doing these photo ops, these smiling, waving, applauding troops, and then he says, oh, well, even though they understand the importance of the mission, everybody would rather be home. That's nonsense.
Yeah, it is.
And
it
he
is.
Just, with his We call that big hand, little map syndrome. He just waves his hand and dismisses the entire results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common theme in the Pentagon, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday, which was more happy talk, in my opinion. But Chris is on the line with us from Monterey, and it says on my screen, Chris, you're active duty military. Welcome to our program, and thanks for serving.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I just wanted to comment on, I'm also an OIF veteran. That's our Operation Iraqi Freedom. And I was on the ground. One thing that actually doesn't get talked about a lot, and a lot of times aren't represented in these polls, is what happens to these soldiers' family lives when they're away.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough that I didn't have to spend too long of a time in there, but I was hand-in-hand with a lot of Army buddies of mine and, major officers. And it goes from the top down, the stress that it actually puts on their families.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that never gets representative is these families that get broken up due to divorce and things just being away for so long. You're talking a year, year and a half deployments. And these polls, this latest poll actually is the first one I've heard of that actually accurately reflects what I saw and the people that I interacted with and, you know, even my own troops mm-hmm. that I was there with.
Chris, where were you deployed?
I was in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. And were you inside the green zone or were you out there trying to keep the peace on a daily basis?
I was lucky enough to be inside the green zone for the time I was there, so I have nothing to complain about, per se. But I dealt with a lot of people, and my brother-in-law also, he was actually an infantryman in the Army, too. So,
What do you think our listeners need to know? And this is an open-ended question. I have no preconceived notions here. Answer it any way you like. But what do you think people need to know about what's truly going on in Iraq that we don't hear in the media or see in our newspapers?
Well, on a broad scale of the idea, we do believe that we're making things better. However, there is some underlining resentment of why we're there.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're there, you kind of put that stuff outside of your mind. Entirely, and you're just worried about getting home. I sometimes hear right-wing talk show hosts talk about how, well, nobody should be, undercutting our president or the administration in time of war because it affects the troops. I'm going to be honest with you, Peter. Troops don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to get home. We don't sit and talk about that stuff too much. We're just worried about how we're going to get home. We could care less, really, what people say about the president, because...
I believe that, and I also feel that you must know when you're in a combat zone like that, that you are fighting for the free speech rights and the political freedom that we have in this country to dissent from the policies of our leaders. That's true American patriotism, in my view.
Well, you're absolutely right, and the majority, there is repercussions that can happen for active duty military that speak out, so not a lot of us do. We just kind of go through our jobs and do that because there is actually laws in the Uniform Code of Military Justice that you're not supposed to speak out about the president, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
However, all the troops do understand that an average citizen does have that right to do it, and they respect it, and we live and die for that
Chris,
right that those people have.
Chris, I'm really glad you called. I've got to take a break here. Can you hold through the break, and we'll talk a little further? I bet Scott has some questions for you, too.
Sure,
all right, stay with us. That's Chris from Monterey. Scott Dick is our guest. He's our military and veterans affairs contributor here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And your calls are welcome at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at the oceans with David Wilmot, co-founder of Ocean Champions in Capitola. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you having a problem making your home loan payments? Do you have equity to protect? At your wit's end, trying to figure out how you'll be able to keep your home? Would you like to speak to a highly qualified loan agent who does not charge for advice? Hi, I'm John Sullivan of Executive Financial Services in Salinas. We can advise you about negotiating with your lender, and believe me, most lenders would rather negotiate with you than own your home. We can advise you about the foreclosure process and bankruptcy filings. If you need us, you can call us 7 days a week between 10 and 7 at 443-7277. We personally answer the phone and don't pre-screen our calls. We're here to give you advice. We can give you your options 5 minutes after reviewing your credit report. We might be able to help you. We might not be able to help you. But if you never call us, you'll never know. That's 443-7277 for a five-minute solution. Executive Financial Services at 443-7277.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley has another exciting show this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. Her provoking theme for the day is, Can You Choose a Better Life? You'll enjoy the questions, the challenges, and surprises. Hear how the author of Authentic Happiness had his whole life turned around at 50 by what his 5-year-old daughter said to him. You'll want to hear what's actually documented about what makes a happy life. Joan's guests are Harvey Kaplan, M.D., who has a successful psychotherapeutic practice in San Francisco, and Deborah Jenkins, who's a personal coach and author of Massive Abundance. You'll hear about what breaks your heart, what mends it, where does fear come from, how do we handle it, why are so many adults getting diagnosed ADD and ADHD? Keep listening, and Joan will keep talking about things that matter. All her shows are archived at joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Talking Matters with Dr. Joan Kenley, Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live on KRXA 540. And we continue with Scott Dick, who is our contributor on military, veterans, and single malt scotch affairs. And he hosts the Tasty Planet every Saturday afternoon here on KRXA 540. And we continue with our caller, Chris, from Monterey, who is an active military member and who told us he served in Iraq. Scott, you take a turn here. A couple of questions for Chris, and then I've got a question that was supplied by a listener during the break.
Well, I would really like to know, Chris, if the family support system is still big a joke as it was before, back in the 90s. Has it evolved much, or is it still as broken as it was?
Well, you do have what I noticed, because I was over in Europe when this happened, and it really kind of depends on how proactive the theater commander is or the base commander is. How much they kind of care, and you know as well as I do, Major, that can fluctuate from where you are. The Army was lucky enough to have a 4-star general that I really kind of looked up to, who is a no BS kind of guy, and recognized that, hey, if I don't have my troops' family members happy at home, they're not going to fight as well. And so they were lucky enough to, he recognized that and he stepped in and he got rid of a lot of red tape that was involved with, that you find with any bureaucracy. And when you're dealing with the military, you're dealing with the biggest corporation in the world, if you want to look at it that way.
Oh yeah.
So the European commands, however, it is the other big dependent that relies on is, the spouses themselves and how much they interact with each other. And how much they get involved with the local based community. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. There are things out there, and I think the military, before I came in, you'd hear the horror stories about not having any sort of mental health awareness, so to speak, you know, whether it be when you come home, the post-traumatic stress disorders that you'll deal with, and even the stress on the families. The military has done, I think, a really good job over the last decade of recognizing that. That is an issue. There's still definitely room for improvement, don't get me wrong, but I think they have improved in that sense, that there's more to injuries than just the physical sense.
Okay. I mean, a family support group, it is personality driven, and my greatest concern has been for the far-flung from the National Guard and Reserve.
The biggest problem that I've seen is with the Guard troops that come home. The Army National Guard, especially in the Army Reserves, that they come home, and they're, a lot of times, and it's been in the news, I've heard it a couple times, that these guys don't have much because they're not, a lot of times they're not around an active duty base, which might have those sort of facilities for those people, specialists that they could possibly talk to.
Right.
And even a lot of times when these bases do have these specialists, they are a bit overwhelmed. Because of the amount of the volume that they deal with.
Chris, I want to ask you, and a caller, Jeff, reminded us of this. Last week when Scott was on the program, we detailed a recent Zogby poll of troops in Iraq, and the widely reported number was that a total of 72% believe that by the end of this year we ought to pull most of our troops out of Iraq. But what was really astounding to us, that a much higher number, I think it was around 85% of the troops in Iraq surveyed, firmly believe that there was a link between Saddam Hussein and 9/11, and that's the reason they're in Iraq. And that issue is only believed by 45% of the people who watch the Fox News channel, for God's sake. Why do you think so many troops buy that hogwash?
The majority of the troops that are in the military are, you know, you're dealing, especially in the Army, are you dealing with people under 25. And this is a generation that's really caught on catchwords, and the administration does a very good job of getting those catchwords out and making those links. And many people don't stop and listen to the other side of the story. You know, even I, when we first came in, I wasn't necessarily sold on the whole 9/11 link, but I was, you know, much to my dismay, I believe that there was a threat, but after I've been there and I saw and I've spoken to people that were specialists that were actually ones looking for the WMDs and stuff, I felt a little betrayed personally.
They spent over $1 billion looking for WMD, and that was a total waste of money because they knew by the time they launched that search with David Kay and the others who followed up that there really was no substantive weapons of mass destruction program that Saddam still had going after roughly 1995.
Yeah, I can't comment too much on the specifics of what they were doing with searching for this stuff, but I know the guys that were looking for the stuff weren't very busy.
Beautifully put.
Hey, Chris, before you get off, I'd really like to go deep background with you sometime. If you send an email to Scott at KRXA540, I'd really appreciate it. And make sure you use Yahoo. Don't use any Army government email addresses. I just have some ideas sometimes. I'd like to vet against another vet because it seems outlandish to me, and I still go on the air with Peter without bouncing them off any real people. Take a look at our website at KRXA540.com and either pull up Peter's address, send him an email so we can make contact. I'd really appreciate it. You can keep me straight.
I'll try.
Okay, Chris.
No guarantee. I'm just asking.
Oh, no problem.
I'm also curious about all the reenlistments. I mean, we're at like 106% reenlistment, but my question is, are they reenlisting to stay or are they reenlisting to go?
They're reenlisting for the money.
And where's that money going?
To be perfectly honest with you, the job market that it is, I love working in the military. I lucked out in my life in the fact that I'm an officer that gets to lead some of the best individuals that this country has. You're not dealing with the average below average individual when you're working with the troops that we have. You're really dealing with what the best that this country has, and I can't ask for anything more. It makes my job easy, but at times it makes it hard when you see certain things that are wrong that need to be fixed, and you see that these people, these citizens that have volunteered their services to the country are getting I don't want to say exploited, but are not being treated as fairly as they should be.
Yeah. Chris, I really appreciate the call. Good to have you listening.
Thanks, Peter.
Thanks again for your service. I really appreciate that. Dave and Humboldt, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Hi, we got you.
But the guest went off now, did he?
No, Scott's still here. That was Chris, who was a caller who was with us.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But go right ahead, Dave.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I thought you were off on break there.
No, we're here. We're live.
Well, I was wondering what the opinions would be of the military over there if they weren't so severely lied to. You were just touching on this a bit there, Peter, but if they realize how much of the funds are being funneled into the special interests over there, the Halliburtons and all, if they knew as a fact that they're being lied to about 9/11, that Iraq had nothing to do with that, if they knew that the Pentagon had misplaced some $3 trillion, I wonder if they had a more honest grasp of what they're a part of, what their opinions might be.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, you know, there were some survey results last year that the troops were very not upset and upset that personal security contractors are making five times the amount of money that they were making.
Right.
And remember, those guys are ex-vets, and so they're sitting there making 125, 130, 150 grand to ride in the same convoys those troops are doing for 20, 22, 24, 25. The 25 grand tax-free is still only 25. It doesn't multiply itself.
No, it doesn't.
Peter, something that Chris bounced off of, he said I'd like to bounce off of, there's a new research that showed that 31% of all soldiers and Marines returning from Iraq sought help from a mental health clinic within a year of returning home.
31%.
Excuse me, 31%.
Yeah, that's substantial. That's a lot of people who don't have overt wounds, but who are suffering as a result of their service.
And that study was reported in the March 1st issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association.
It's over there.
And that 19% of soldiers and Marines returning from Iraq met the risk criteria for a mental health concern.
And we don't really hear much about that.
No, because that's the...
Okay, can you drop Dave's line there? Thanks, Joe. Okay, Scott, go ahead.
So what we have is an underfunded Veterans Administration. We're looking out into the future to 2010. We're talking about trying to reduce the numbers in the Navy and the Air Force and bring the numbers up in the Army. At the same time, they have to come up with the money to repair $2 billion worth of just combat equipment left from Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to siphon off money out of the VA at the same time, still look like they're putting money into the VA. I talked about last week that trauma center they're building in San Antonio with private donation, and it's only $350 million. And when all is said and done, these traumatic brain injury victims,
yeah,
the mental health victims, and then, of course, we have the traumatic injury victims are going to be on the street. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, and we don't admit the risks posed by exposure to depleted uranium. And if, you know, what I believe is called Gulf War syndrome is duplicated with Iraqi vets, we're going to have a high number of people with ailments that the military doesn't recognize because it's in denial about exposure to DU.
The numbers are huge. They've already identified 21,000, almost 22,000 soldiers and Marines who screened positive for PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of numbers, and when you have troops going back over and over again, some troops on their third tour, they're talking about maybe as high as 50% of the 200,000 people who were screened.
Yeah. Scott, it's time for a break. We'll continue in just a moment. It's 44 minutes past the hour. And if you have a question or a comment you'd like to share with our military and veterans affairs advisor, Scott Dick, call me right now at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA. And we'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm Jose Mendez.
And I'm Ren Bradley. Please join us on our new show,
Labor Matters,
on Sunday starting March 5th from 1 to 2 p.m.
We'll be talking about issues of importance to the labor movement and raising awareness of the local struggles of the working men and women of our community.
And, as time permits, state and national issues.
Don't give up the fight.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show this Friday afternoon on KRXA 540. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And if you want to join us, there's still room for your call at 831-899-KRXA or 899-5792. And Scott, I had a chance last night to catch part of the C-SPAN replay of the Senate hearing between the senators. So let's see, it's the Appropriations Committee. And there was Rumsfeld, Rice, Abizaid, and Case. And it was kind of interesting because the Republican senators were falling all over each other, just trying to rubber stamp this new $65 billion supplemental request. And it was Robert Byrd, the octogenarian from West Virginia, who pressed Donald Rumsfeld for assurances that this money that they are approving won't be used to put our troops right in the middle of a full-blown Iraqi civil war. And Rumsfeld answered this way, "Senator, I can say that certainly it is not the intention of the military commanders to allow that to happen. The plan is to prevent a civil war, and to the extent one were to occur, to have the, from a security standpoint, have the Iraqi security forces deal with it to the extent they're able to." Now, as you hear that language, Scott, first of all, the secretary remains in denial about the true nature of the situation on the ground. They're using these other terms like sectarian violence and, you know, other ways of describing what most observers would call a civil war. After all, there are two factions in Iraq that are fighting one another, and we are the occupying force that is often caught in the middle. And do you believe these assurances that the Iraqi security forces can deal with this civil strife, even if it's not officially civil war?
No. Because if they could, Peter, they wouldn't be having the violence that they're having now.
Yeah.
So my definition of a civil war from my dictionaries around the house, a war between opposing groups within a country. So I don't know what else you need to call it a civil war. You can call it sectarian or internecine or whatever you want to call it, but it's actually Iraqis killing Iraqis over a couple of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more or what's less, it's that nationwide opposition to coalition presence persists. And this is a statement from Lieutenant General Michael Maples. Nationwide opposition to coalition presence persists. Most Iraqis consider those who perpetrate violence against civilians to be criminals or terrorists, but those who attack the coalition as patriots.
Mm-hmm.
As dire as the situation is becoming, Maples said, it could be worse. We are not involved in a civil war at this time.
Only when it gets worse.
At the beginning of his statement, he said, sectarian violence is increasing. He's the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. He told the Armed Services Senate Committee, elections appear to have heightened tension and polarized sectarian divides.
Well, that's interesting and honest because, of course, the spin from the Bush administration is that the elections are producing a process that's going to lead to a government that is going to be able to unify these disparate elements in the country and develop internal peace. It all sounds really good. It's just so disconnected from reality.
Well, he's explicit in describing what's happening in Iraq, and I don't know why nobody has really hammered the administration with this. He said, even moderate Sunni Arab leaders see violence as a complement to their political platforms and are pursuing a dual-track policy of political engagement and armed resistance. He said, with improvised explosive devices remaining the insurgents' preferred method of attack, Sunni Arabs make up the core of the insurgency. Now, wait. Didn't we call the Confederates in our Civil War insurgents?
Yes.
Okay. Sunni Arabs make up the core of the insurgents. Wasn't that a civil war, by the way, Peter?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I thought maybe all the time I've spent in history classes was a waste.
Well, the euphemism was the war between the states.
But they called them insurgents, and they wanted to, the war between the states. So what we have, the Sunni Arabs make up the core of the insurgency and have no problem recruiting new members. Insurgent leaders exploit Sunni Arab social, economic, historical, and religious grievances to recruit both active and tacit support. Now, that sounds like a civil war to me. And then you have actually, in my opinion, you have the Sunnis going after the Shias and the Shias after the Sunni, and parts of both of them going after coalition forces. Because
yeah.
It's not just the Sunnis who are reporting that it's a patriotic to attack coalition forces.
Well, and when we read between the lines of the messages coming out of Washington, what you get is that we are no longer committed to rebuilding the infrastructure of the country. Electricity generation is at 35% or 40% of pre-war levels. Fresh water supplies are in roughly the same zone there. And we have quietly signaled that we are not committing any more American billions to rebuild Iraq. And there was about $18 billion committed originally, much of which was diverted into security expenses because they didn't expect that there would be the kinds of sectarian violence that have plagued the U.S. occupation for the last 2 years and 9 months.
Well, in the GAO report, that's precisely why the infrastructure improvements have stopped. The USAID has gotten out of the area. They've moved back to the green zone. They can't send any kind of civilian contractors or reps to go out there. It's dangerous for anybody to travel outside of the green zone. And so basically they've stopped, and the GAO was specific. they wrote that the insurgency intensified through October 2005 and has remained strong since then. Particularly the Sunni insurgency grew in complexity, intensity, and lethality from June of 2003 through early of 2005. And it's not only insurgency initiated attacks against the coalition, it's also against its Iraqi partners and the infrastructure. And you know, they can't get the oil out of the country because of the attacks against the pipelines and the plants. It sounds like a full-blown civil war to me, no matter how the administration sugarcoats it.
Right. And when you look at the whole picture, which is we have these long simmering disputes between the three major ethnic religious factions, we have no employment to speak of, no prospect of an improving economy, no prospect of an improving quality of life, because the U.S. is backing away from that. And the Iraqis have no resources to rebuild their infrastructure. And as long as the sectarian violence continues, then this cycle will simply continue to cycle down into more bloodshed, more chaos, and, you know, less hope for any positive outcome to this amazing adventure. We've got another caller on the line. It's Ken in Monterey. Hi, Ken. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Thank you. I was thinking to myself that I have to remind myself to be careful when I listen to the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency when they say something, or the National Security Agency when they say something. Even though they're wearing 3-4 stars on their shoulder, at those positions, they are more political than they are military.
That's very well put, and we saw that on the Hill yesterday. Scott?
Oh, that was happy talk.
Yeah,
well, that's, Peter, they all talk about the last real member of the military or a colonel at the colonel level. Generals, by nature, are political. And there are a few combat generals out there that aren't seen as political, but they don't last long. And as we know, since Rumsfeld is hand-selecting 3 stars, as Joe Galloway reported, he's hand-selecting 3 stars and 4 stars, they're basically all just going to say, yes, sir, 3 bags full, sir.
Yeah.
Well, we saw what happened to the Army Chief of Staff when he said you need more than 250,000 troops in Iraq.
That's Shinseki.
Shinseki, and then Bremer.
That's right, he had to take early retirement.
And Bremer wrote a letter to Rumsfeld, I believe, in about March or April of 2003. Oh, no, it was 2004, and he's still waiting for a reply.
Well, Bremer gave happy talk. I watched all his interviews with McNeil Lehrer and on C-SPAN and MSNBC.
Right.
And Bremer was just happy talk, too. I mean, he was all over the place. I couldn't get a straight.
He was happy talk with a CYA.
That's right, exactly.
Like Brown.
Yeah.
Hey, Peter, let me jump in there for just a second because I wanted to mention something about Bremer, and I just got sidetracked. Sorry. So let's just go back to what we were talking about.
Okay. We only have 1 minute, so see if it comes back to you. Ken, thank you for the call today.
You're welcome. Thanks for your show.
You bet. Scott, give us a quick rundown on what's on the Tasty Planet tomorrow.
Oh, I'm going to have Chad Lund. We're going to talk of distilled spirits because I know how to drink them, but I don't know anything else about them.
Me too.
And Ray Napolitano, who is a columnist. He's a wine rep and a columnist for the Monterey County Weekly. He's going to be on. We're going to fist fight. I don't know if you saw. I was in his column this weekend, so that should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I remember now. Wolfowitz. You know, Wolfowitz drug up a couple of Republican cronies to the World Bank, and the professionals there are complaining about him violating procedures. And he's doing what the administration does best. You know, surround themselves with cronies and yes men.
Scott, thank you very much. We'll be listening to The Tasty Planet tomorrow and talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate
it. Scott Dick on The Peter B. Collins Show. Next, we take a look at our oceans right here on KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove has the finest selection of fresh local fruits, veggies, and meats. The Grove Market is also your first stop for delicious artisanal breads and other baked goods, and boasts an outstanding selection of Monterey wines. For competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey, shop at the Grove Market, Monday through Saturday, 8 to 7, 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove. 242 Forest, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
NASA's Mars probe is in the groove.
Right on the money.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. Right on the money.
Interior Secretary Gail Norton departs and conservationists shed no tears.
She and the Bush administration did a fair amount of on-the-ground damage to our public lands and wildlife.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A critical maneuver late today, and a spacecraft is perfectly placed in low orbit to make a two-year up-close survey of Mars. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
After 7 months and more than 300 million miles, it all came down to one moment with the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter successfully begin to orbit the red planet. The answer came from Mission Control.
We have two-way Doppler, and MRO is in orbit around the planet Mars.
There were smiles and braces and even a few tears from scientists who have also experienced the agony of two Mars orbit missions that failed. On this day, though, there was a happy ending. Dan McLeese is a Mars project scientist.
This is a boyhood dream come true.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California.
Now this.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. When you were a kid, you loved the fun side of Welch's grape juice. You know, the big grape taste, the purple mustache? Well, it turns out there's a surprising side to Welch's, too. Because studies have shown that Welch's 100% grape juice is actually good for your heart. Made from deep purple Concord grapes with no added sugar. Welch's is packed with natural antioxidants. Twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's 100% grape juice. The most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
Are you making too many trips to the bathroom? Superprostate formula reduces nighttime urination and improves sleep. We're so confident that you'll be thrilled with Superprostate formula that you can try it free. That's right, free. So call now for your free 30-day trial of Superprostate formula and reclaim control. Just pay shipping and handling. Call now. 1-800-421-1790. 1-800-421-1790. 1-800-421-1790.
After 5 years as Secretary of the Interior, Gail Norton submitted her resignation today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
She was the first woman to serve as Interior Secretary and is one of the last remaining original members of the Bush cabinet. She's been one of the most zealous advocates of administration policies on the environment and energy, including the push for drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. As a result, she often drew fire from groups opposed to those programs.
Among those groups is the Sierra Club. Debbie Cease, their national legislative director, doesn't expect Norton's replacement to be any different.
The problem is that unless the Bush administration changes its policies, what we're going to get is just shifting from one fox guarding the hen house to another.
The leak from an oil pipeline in Alaska's Prudhoe Bay was discovered last week. Now officials estimate the spill at more than 200,000 gallons of crude.
This is historic in nature, and it's really a catastrophe for the environment. It's the largest spill in the history of oil and gas operations on the North Slope in terms of crude oil.
Natalie Brandon of the Alaska Wilderness League. The state's largest spill ever was in 1989 when the tanker Exxon Valdez ran aground in Prince William Sound, gushing 11 million gallons of oil. The Labor Department says the economy created nearly a quarter million new jobs last month, and President Bush seized on the good news as an opportunity to lobby Congress to make his tax cuts permanent.
I believe one of the reasons we're having the economic success we're having is because we cut the taxes
on the people.
But tax cuts coupled with spending increases make it hard to balance the budget. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the federal deficit rose sharply last month as the Treasury started issuing 2005 tax refunds.
All those tax refund checks always send government spending up in February, but the government last month broke all the records, spending $110 billion more than it took in. The federal debt has been soaring the past few years, a combination of tax cuts and spending increases, including the costs of Katrina and $5 billion a month for the war in Iraq. In fact, the government within weeks is going to run out of cash unless Congress increases the $8 trillion debt limit so it can borrow more. CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Dubai Ports World put an end to the controversy yesterday by announcing that U.S. port operations it's acquiring will be turned over to an American entity. But today, President Bush is worrying out loud about the consequences.
I'm concerned about a broader message this issue could send to our friends and allies around the world.
He said he's committed to strengthening the relationship with the United Arab Emirates, a country he calls an ally in the war on terror. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hi, Susie. Thanks for watching my kids.
Good timing. I'm making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ooh, my kids love chocolate milk.
So do mine, but I didn't make it for them. This Ovaltine's for us.
Really?
Hey, adults love the taste, too. Plus, I drink rich chocolate Ovaltine every day because it's high in calcium and antioxidants like vitamins A, C, and E. Ovaltine even has iron I need, which I can't get from Nesquik powder or milk alone.
Mmm, Ovaltine is good.
And it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. Nesquik powder doesn't come close.
More Ovaltine, please.
We've got one word for Friday nights on NBC. Great. Great deal. Deal or no deal. The hit game show keeps rocking the country. Great place. Las Vegas. TV's hottest show is now on Friday.
Friday just became your lucky day.
Great drama. Conviction. The new series critics are calling the year's hippest and hottest new show. A great Friday night. Deal or no deal. Vegas and Conviction. All new NBC tonight.
Sorry, I'm going to watch Bill Maher. It's 4:06 Friday afternoon, the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540. Coming up later this hour, the Reverend Barry Lynn of Americans United for Separation of Church and State talks about the latest Bush administration faith-based initiatives. But first, our oceans are in crisis. Here along the Central Coast, we have a beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean. Some of us even use it. Some of us are lucky enough to have fancy homes by the sea. No, when you look at the beautiful Pacific Ocean, something doesn't feel quite right. And Mother Jones Magazine devoted their March-April 2006 issue to a series of articles about the future of our oceans. And one of the contributors to this effort is David Wilmot. Dr. David Wilmot is co-founder and president of Ocean Champions, based in Capitola. And they have a website if you want to take a look, oceanchampions.org. David, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to talk with you. And can we just do some high fives here over the electronic circuits? Gail Norton resigned today.
Gail Norton resigned, the woman who wanted to drill everywhere she could in America, including right off our coast here.
Indeed. And I happen to be fortunate enough to be on the Gail Norton blacklist, David.
Now, what did you do to earn that distinction?
I interviewed her, and I went off the talking points. I asked her questions that were not in her rehearsed answers, and she was deeply offended. Her public affairs specialist, Ron Tull, wrote us a flaming email the next day saying that she would never submit to an interview with me again.
Very good. You should frame that letter.
Well, it's been up on my bulletin board since April of 2004, and just today I pulled it down.
No need any longer.
To enjoy the moment. But, of course, there's some other member of the wrecking crew, a resource extractor, somebody from the Rocky Mountain Legal Foundation, a James Watt devotee like Gail Norton that they'll find to take that seat, don't you think?
Well, I try to be optimistic when these opportunities present themselves. We have so many issues that need it. Good attention, but I'd like to hope that there is someone out there who can balance the conservation with the extraction desires so many have.
Yeah. Bush is an optimist too, David.
I hopefully I'm a slightly different optimist than our president.
Well, I want to talk first of all about the Mother Jones issue, and then I want to quickly segue into the work that you're doing, because we're political here. And I appreciate that you are looking at the politics of ocean environmental issues and recognizing that we need to address that. But let's talk first about the scope of the issue Mother Jones published and the kinds of comments and concerns that are raised by the various contributors.
It's a wonderful collection of articles. To be honest, it's a little depressing because, as you noted in the opening, there is a crisis brewing, mm-hmm. and there's no way to sugarcoat it. The lead article is really worth looking at because there's so many cutting-edge studies that have just come out in the past year or two that help shine a bright light on some of the specific problems that the ocean are facing and some of the broader problems and how they go together. And that lead article really did help put the pieces of the puzzle together and lay it out there for folks who aren't familiar with this, who just enjoy the ocean to go swimming, to go kayaking, to go diving, but really don't know about many of the problems that are happening.
Yeah. And just as one example, David, I use the water. I'm a scuba diver. I'm a sailor. And I have, you know, more than a passing interest in these issues and subjects. And I only recently got an appreciation for how sensitive some of the sea life is to climate change, and that 1 degree of ocean warming can wipe out some of these sensitive life forms like anemones that are critical to the fish and other critters that feed on them. And if these food chains are disrupted, then it has a very critical ripple effect.
Well, the domino effect can be tremendous, and there's been a debate raging right off of the coast here of whether or not to start commercially fishing for krill. These are the little critters out there that the gray whales eat as they're migrating north and south past our coast. Lots of fish eat them. Seabirds eat them. They're the foundation of the food web, and believe it or not, there was an actual debate of should we start commercially fishing this critter that so many species depend upon. Now, luckily, some sanity came into this process, and the answer was no. States had already forbid it, and now the federal government has said no. Out to 200 miles, we're smarter than that, because what we would have had is what you're describing, a ripple effect where a very small impact, taking a small animal out of the ocean, could have had a huge impact on everything from whales to birds to fish.
Yeah. Now, David, if we could try to divide these in a very broad way, the threats to our oceans are largely due to human activity, but not exclusively. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's accurate, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the most critical human activities that are causing critical problems in ocean life?
The first one that comes to mind is fishing. And look, a lot of us love to eat seafood. I eat it regularly. I think it's wonderful for us, and I enjoy it very much. But the demand has basically outstripped the ability of the ocean to produce for us. And we have this problem, again, right off the central coast here, whether we're talking about salmon or whether we're talking about groundfish. Anyone who has fished out here or even watched the counter closely when they're buying fish has seen dramatic changes. So that's probably the one that's easiest for folks to recognize. I think the second one that's very easy to recognize is coastal pollution. Mm-hmm. Water running off, whether it's storm water running off after it rains or whether it's direct sources of sewage coming from cities, whatever the case may be. I think that those two are easy for people to understand. Overfishing, taking too much out, and coastal pollution, people living on the coast and the pollution running in. Some of the other threats are a little harder to see, but those are two of the biggest. Mm-hmm. And if we could solve those, we would go a long way towards repairing the health of the oceans and ensuring the long-term sustainability of the oceans, which is what this is all about.
Yeah.
It's about making sure the oceans are there for us to enjoy, appreciate, bring food out of them for a long time to come.
I'm a longtime meat eater who has weaned myself. I'm not any kind of vegetarian or a food extremist, but I eat a lot less meat than I used to, and I do look to fish to, make my diet more interesting. And it's tough because of the mercury issues that we have learned about recently. I don't like factory farmed fish. I know about the PCB content of many of those salmon that are grown in pens up in the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so even as, somebody who's not nearly as schooled as you are, it's frightening. I love swordfish, but I know that swordfish is declining rapidly. And the Chinook salmon run in California may be put completely off limits this year to try to protect the populations.
Well, you are a very informed consumer. And for those who are less informed, I encourage folks in this area to go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium's website and look at their Seafood Choices campaign. They can help individuals who are less familiar make wise choices. There are many fish species that are better for the ocean if people eat, and certain ones that people should avoid, and some that are better for their health. And so if folks go to the aquarium website, I think they'll find some really valuable information that'll make them feel good about what they're doing, that they are making a difference and they don't get overwhelmed by the negativity, because as you point out, there's a lot going wrong, but there are things that people can do that they should feel good about, health in terms of their own health and in terms of taking care of the oceans and the planet.
We're talking with Dr. David Wilmot. He's co-founder and president of Ocean Champions in Capitola. That's where he's based. And you can go to their website for more information. Some pretty good stuff there at oceanchampions.org. We're going to pick up as we continue and talk about the politics of protecting and preserving our oceans. That's one of the focuses of David and his organization. If you have a question or comment, get on the line right now. It's 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. And we'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
It's tax time again, and there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund and, through electronic filing, get you that refund as soon as you need it, in 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. The choice is yours. The personnel of Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to bring a copy of your 2004 federal and California returns, W-2 1099 info for 2005. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show, About College Funding, this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540. Sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this Friday afternoon. You're trying to get away? Let's see if you're going to get away with it. Here's Amy Knight.
Well, it's chilly out there, and we had Highway 17 shut down earlier this afternoon with snow coming down to at least 500 feet.
Whoa.
But Highway 17 currently open right now between Bear Creek Road and Granite Creek Road. But you never know. It could shut down again this afternoon, but we'll keep you posted.
We had a report of snow in Eureka earlier today, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's
crazy this afternoon. But in Watsonville, southbound one near Riverside Drive, a two-car collision on the shoulder. And we just cleared an overturned car, northbound one after Buena Vista Drive. So there's the good news, but traffic's going to be heavy on Highway 1. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back with you in about half an hour.
Okay.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540. We're talking about the future of our oceans. And I dipped into the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives, and the closest I could come up with is a song about submarines. But I like it. That's Thomas Dolby, and one of our submarines is missing. We continue with David Wilmot here. And as we mentioned, he participates in Ocean Champions. He's the president and co-founder of that organization. And if you go to MotherJones.com, he and Jack Stern wrote a commentary piece that's a companion to the edition of the magazine focused on the future of our oceans. And in it, you talk about the need to recruit new political leaders who have a real commitment to the issues related to our oceans and their health.
That's right. When you look at, if one reads the Mother Jones articles, the first thing that should come to mind is why? Why are we losing so badly? Why are the oceans not being taken care of? And the answer is really simple. We know what the problems are. We know what the solutions are. There's not a lack of information. The science is plenty strong. Turns out there's a lack of leadership. The political will is simply not there. And when you look more closely, the reason it's not there, it turns out that ocean conservationists, for all the great work we've been doing for many years, we have not been part of the political discourse. We have not been participating in the political process the way that the real winners do, and that is you get involved in the political money. You have to help these folks get elected. You have to have a close relationship with them. And this is not the nonsense of corruption with the Jack Abramoff. We're talking about simply having the opportunity to highlight these important issues to the members of Congress on the terms that they understand. And that's what we've started to do. And so far the results have been very, very encouraging.
Now, you mentioned three current political figures, one well-known to our listeners, Sam Farr, the Democrat from here on the Central Coast, and also from the coast of Massachusetts, the Representative Barney Frank. And I am familiar with both of those gentlemen and recognize their work on the environment and oceans as well. But you also surprised me by mentioning Senator Ted Stevens from Alaska, who is a Neanderthal in my book, and the guy who is just desperate to build the bridge to nowhere and drill in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
The politics of the oceans are really interesting. You mentioned Barney Frank. Now, Sam Farr here in our district, Sam is the true leader on the oceans. He's been fantastic. He gets it. He works very hard, does everything that he can, but he needs help. Now, you take a Barney Frank, one of the highest environmental ratings of any members of Congress. Barney Frank is terrible on fishing issues when it comes to the oceans. This is a guy who leads the charge to weaken the regulations that are in place so that you can overfish even more. Now, how does this happen? It happens because they're not hearing from the right people. A Barney Frank, for example, may only be hearing from a very small number of commercial fishermen. There's not a large constituency that lets folks know that these are important issues to a broader group, to users of the ocean, whether they're surfers, they're kayakers, people who own a house, as you mentioned, that overlooks the ocean. So it's interesting bedfellows that are made in some of this. Ted Stevens, on many issues, I can understand exactly what you're saying, but it has turned out he's exerted quite a bit of leadership on the fishing issues with the oceans, actually helping lead the way. Without him, we wouldn't be discussing a good bill on fish this year. So we're trying to be very nimble, if you will, as we look out there and see that there are some differences politically. We're trying not to follow the traditional environmental model of Democrats versus Republicans. We're incredibly bipartisan, but we're very selective. We're looking for individuals who will lead on ocean issues, not individuals that are necessarily going to care about anything else. Where are they on the oceans? Can we help get them elected? Can we help them lead?
Now, Trent Lott lost his summer home on the Gulf. Where's he on ocean issues?
He hasn't been particularly active, but there has been some talk that this could really help. This is a man who was personally impacted, and we often talk about the need to help them make a personal connection. That helps with this type of issue. He may be able to step up, but he generally hasn't. But there are other Republicans that have indeed stepped up. A Connie Mack down in Florida, for example, a conservative Republican, first term in the House of Representatives. And he stepped forward leading the fight against oil drilling off the coast of Florida and around. He went head-to-head with Representative Pombo, who's not too far from here.
No, he's not, but he's really far to the right.
He is one of the biggest problems that we face right now. And so the great thing about having an organization like Ocean Champions is that we now can take these people head on. We can now go directly at a Richard Pombo, and if this is a guy who's going to be bad for the oceans, we can help try to get him out of Washington, D.C.
And you know about my friend Pete McCloskey, who has come out of retirement to challenge Richard Pombo.
Yes, he has. He was so disgusted by Mr. Pombo's record, especially his attack on the Endangered Species Act, and Mr. McCloskey, of course, was one of the original co-sponsors of the act. So it's nice to see him as a Republican standing up and saying, this is not what Republicans should stand for.
Mm-hmm. David, who are a couple of other elected officials we might be surprised about who are active and proactive related to ocean issues?
Oh, I mentioned several of the Republicans. Unfortunately, I think that most people assume Republicans bad on the environment, Democrats good on the environment. A couple of Democrats that might surprise people, Senator Ted Kennedy in Massachusetts, not particularly good on fish issues. Some of the same reasons as Barney Frank.
So it jobs Trump. The environment in that case, is that what it boils down to?
In these particular cases, they don't even view them as environmental issues. Ocean issues have generally been constituent service. They knew they had fishermen. Their fishermen would come in and tell them what they want. They just viewed it as taking care of their constituents, and they really didn't think about it as the environment. That's one of the challenges that we have. And while this expanded dialogue with politicians is incredibly valuable because we help show them that this is a much broader issue than they originally thought it was, so that people who do think, like Senator Kennedy, we're hopeful with time we can show him why it's in his interest, his state's interest, and the country's interest to get this fixed.
Got about a minute remaining, David. Give us the elevator pitch on how our listeners can get involved with Ocean Champions and create this new political will to deal with these issues.
That's the missing piece. We don't have the army out there. Find a local group that excites you and interests you, whether it's a surf rider organization, whether it's the Monterey Bay Aquarium. Find a local organization where you can have a real contact with the ocean and with people who share some of your interests and desires. Of course, we'd love for people to come and take a look at Ocean Champions, but most importantly, get involved with a local group so that you can learn your local issues, see what you can do, and then once people who care about the ocean see that they can start to make a difference, it just goes from there. And then, of course, there are the national groups that they can get involved in. But go find a surf rider. Go find a kayak group. Go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium and become part of the dialogue.
All right. Thanks. Wanted to get a comment from a whale.
Very good.
I don't know how I had this, but I have an actual recording of a whale in my archives here. David, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for your work.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
David Wilmot in Capitola joining us, and he is co-founder and president of Ocean Champions. On the web, oceanchampions.org. Coming up next, we're going to talk with the Reverend Barry Lynn, executive director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, about George W. Bush's recent faith-based initiatives. That's coming up next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances. Giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you interesting topics and personalities from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove. Stop by today for all your quality beverage needs and ask them about their single malt scotch tasting on March 22nd. And tell them the Tasty Planet sent you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show here on KRXA 540.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger.
Yeah, but God chose him, didn't he?
He'd come around up to no good. Broke the old treaties cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Joining us on the program right now is the Reverend Barry Lynn. He is Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State, and he is the esteemed host of Culture Shocks, which airs every weekday evening on KRXA right after my show, about 6 o'clock. Hi, Barry.
How you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm going to feel different in the morning because we had a record-breaking temperature of 77 degrees here in Washington today, and I'm flying to Salt Lake City where it's snowing tomorrow morning.
Oh, boy.
So in answer to that possibly rhetorical question in the song, I don't know if I'm going to feel better in the morning.
Well, we've actually had snow near sea level here in California.
No kidding.
Today. Yeah. The weather is whacked out, and we've got another couple of storms hovering off the coast. So,
well, but don't worry, there's no global warming because the president, when looking at new data, always says, I don't argue with myself. He's already decided it's not a problem. Don't bother him with the facts.
Yeah, and don't mess with him on fuzzy math or bad science, you know?
Yeah, none.
Right.
I don't think he really reported for duty at Biology 101 at Yale University when he went there because he has such an anti-science. It's not just issues like global warming, but he's a strong believer that we should teach intelligent design along with evolution. So this man has a little bit of a science deficit.
He certainly does. And this week he's been out on two fronts promoting his transfer of taxpayer money to religious organizations, what he calls faith-based initiatives. And I asked you to come on the show today because I wanted to give our listeners a sense of what's really going on here. And if we're seeing the demolition of the wall that we thought separated church and state in these United States.
Well, I think, Peter, we're actually seeing the demolition of the church-state wall brick by brick in this administration, but we're also seeing the slashing of the social service net in this country. One of the things the president likes to crow about when he talks about his faith-based initiative, which is a transfer of tax dollars to the ministries and missions of religious organizations, he likes to talk about how they're getting more money. That is to say, he asserts that some of these organizations, religious organizations, are getting more money than they used to. What he doesn't tell us is that the overall social spending pie has been shrinking in every year of his presidency, and what's now happening is a fight over the crumbs from the table, a fight that now includes, yes, a few more religious groups, but every time they get a contract on for drug rehab or prison rehabilitation, that means somebody else is losing money. The overall spending is going down.
Mm-hmm. And by funneling the remaining crumbs, as you call them, through selected religious organizations, we are setting up problems both for those of us who believe that there should be the wall between church and state. And as you've pointed out in many interviews that I've read recently, there's a risk to religious groups that accept federal money.
Yeah, one of the things about the separation of church and state that's such a wonderful thing is that it cuts both ways. It's designed to preserve the integrity of the church as well. And once you start to see organizations getting funds from the federal government, then they start to become dependent on those funds. Sometimes their congregations say, well, look, if Uncle Sam's going to come in and pick up the slack, maybe I don't need to give a tithe this year. Maybe I can give a lot less, because after all, the government will pick up what I don't give. So that's a problem. You've got fights now going on. I was at a civil rights conference in Atlanta not too long ago, and groups are fighting with each other publicly and privately over who got more money, and the answer is most groups got nothing, and a few groups got something, and they resent that. So this is not exactly a unification of the religious community. It helps to divide them. So when you combine that fact with the notion that a lot of this newer money, that is money that isn't just going to the same groups that used to get it in the past, Catholic Charities, for example, Salvation Army, the new groups tend to be what I call FOGs, Friends of George, Pat Robertson, who has more money, some would say, than God, literally got $1.5 million of grants from the faith-based initiative program that's run out of the White House. Other pastors who have literally endorsed George Bush for the presidency, including those in African-American communities, have also been getting this money at a disproportionate rate.
So and Barry, how much faith-based initiative money from the Bush administration has been funneled into the Nation of Islam?
Well, there is some that goes to the Nation of Islam, and I'll tell you, I'm one of those people, you know, who thought country was cool before last year. And I also am a person who, when the Nation of Islam was getting funds during the Clinton administration, I objected to that, too, because of this important fact. The Nation of Islam was getting security funds for doing security work in Baltimore, Maryland, and a couple of other cities, but they wouldn't hire women. In other words, if they wouldn't, in fact, be willing to adopt the civil rights laws of the country, I didn't think that they should get federal money.
And those security groups are called the Fruit of Islam, right?
Fruit of Islam. They formed a separate corporation for a while called Nation of Islam Security Incorporated. But they basically stand around and do, I'm sure they do some good work, please don't get me wrong, but I think as long as they have this hiring practice that would not be permissible in any other government contract, we don't hire women, we don't hire non-Muslims, I think they shouldn't have gotten money in the last administration, and they shouldn't be getting it now. What bothers me is that in Washington we find what I would have to call, I know it's harsh, hypocrites who moaned about the giving of money to the Nation of Islam but don't moan about giving money to Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
If you want to say you got to give money to groups that are willing to play by the rules, the civil rights laws of the country included, you got to be consistent about it.
And how does the ATM work at a faith-based initiative office? There are 10 of them in the various agencies because, of course, Congress rebuffed Bush's proposed legislation to, you know, permit taxpayer dollars to be pumped into religious charities. And so he used the executive order, and he created 10 of these offices, now an 11th at Homeland Security just this week. And how does it work? Because this executive order for the Homeland Security faith-based office requires that it be operating within 45 days. And I'm not aware of any line item in the DHS budget that says, you know, faith-based money.
No, and in fact, if any federal program cried out for an audit, this is the one that does. We have no idea what most of these groups do. We have no idea who they were competing with. We have no idea what results they get. You know, the president and this character, James Toohey, who I must say I've known for a long time, and he used to be a more sensible person than he has been in the last few years, he says what we want is results. We want to see if these programs, we want to get the programs that make a difference. Well, most of these new programs are literally so new they have no track record at all. So they're taking money from existing successful secular and in some cases religious groups that play by the rules, taking that money for these new and untested programs. So it's absurd for them to claim that what they want is a results orientation, because these groups don't have enough years of life to have any results.
Mm-hmm. And one of my hang-ups, Barry, the president used rehab as an example in his speech in Georgia yesterday. He said, you know, if a faith-based group can help you get off alcohol, that's a good thing, ain't it? And here's my rub. That is that most of these programs that are run by religious groups require an individual to not accept the higher power, the, you know, broad sense
sure.
of a supreme being that is used in 12-step programs like Alcoholics Anonymous. But they require, at least in the Christian groups, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And to me, that is a threshold that government funds should never be connected to.
No, it's absolutely what, in fact, is happening. And in Boise, Idaho, I was in Boise last fall for a couple of days, and one of the days I was there, they happened to have a decision in a lawsuit involving a religious group that took over a formerly secular homeless shelter. And you literally had to participate in a prayer in order to get the soup. The first course would not be given to you if you didn't pray. So this is the kind of coercion that the president, if you asked him, if he came on this program, maybe we should have him as a joint Culture Shocks Peter B. Collins program guest sometime. He would say, oh, I don't want to force anybody to be religious. But the truth is, that's what they're doing at a lot of these facilities. And these are people in a lot of trouble. If you don't have a home, if you don't know where you're going to eat, and you get coerced into saying a prayer, and you don't like it, or it's a prayer to a God you don't believe in, it takes a lot of guts and stamina to stand up and say, well, I don't approve of this, and then find some lawyer who will file a lawsuit. Most folks just say, I've got to put up with this. I'm so desperate. Where else is anyone going to give me a bowl of soup?
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue with Barry Lynn. He's the host of Culture Shocks, and his day job is Executive Director of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. He's also an ordained minister. That's where the Reverend comes from. If you have a question or comment, there's room for your call in the next segment. Call me at 831-899-5792. That's 831-899-KRXA.
The country I come.
Check out these lyrics here. This is an old Bob Dylan song called God on Our Side.
And in the land that I live in, God on our side.
It's 4:45. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Where go?
Tom Hartman.
The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
KRXA 540 traffic time is 4:47. Here's Amy Knight.
Heavy traffic as you come out of South San Jose into Morgan Hill, southbound 101 stop and go as you approach Coyote Creek Golf Drive. Otherwise, an earlier accident in Gilroy is cleared north 101 at Monterey Street, and an accident in Gilroy as well, Highway 152 at San Felipe Road, involving three cars off to the shoulder. South southbound 1 before 129. An accident also now completely clear, but traffic may still be heavy on Highway 1 and Berwick Drive at Carmel Valley Road. An injury accident still clearing from the lanes. Emergency crews on scene. Highway 17 open and clear right now from San Jose all the way to Santa Cruz. We'll keep you posted on any weather conditions regarding snow. You don't need different pain relievers for different pains. Wherever you hurt, Advil works. Advil, the everyday pain reliever. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540. Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and freedom. That's freedom of religion and freedom from religion. And the Reverend Barry Lynn, my guest. He's the host of Culture Shocks every evening at 6 o'clock on KRXA 540. And as we mentioned, his day job is executive director of the Americans United for Separation of Church and State. They're on the web at au.org, and they do great work. And Barry, I just want to mention before I forget, one of the most powerful recent programs you did was maybe a month or 6 weeks ago with a live report from an airplane that was right over the U.S.-Mexican border, as you discussed the immigration policies and issues with one of the vigilante types who was there volunteering to help secure our nation's homeland.
I'll tell you, it was, I think, the first time that there's been a simultaneous live broadcast and pictures on the radio and pictures on another website run by this vigilante-esque group that I'm aware of in radio history. So yeah. You were a part of it.
Well, I was driving in the car and couldn't access the web, but I could visualize it as you described it. And it was one of those cases, Barry, where I had to pull over in order to hear the whole show before I ran out of radio signal.
Well, I'm delighted that you listen and that you like what we're doing, because we do try to give people, including people with whom I'm in fundamental disagreement, an opportunity to at least to put their best arguments forward, in that case visually as well.
Yeah. But you know, I want to return to the faith-based initiative issue. There's one other that comes to mind, which is Chuck Colson. He, of course, was a criminal in the Nixon administration and found redemption, a personal type, in prison. And then he founded Prison Fellowship. And he's gone on to conduct a number of programs that I find interesting, but they cross a line for me. He supports a kind of concept called restorative justice or reconciliation. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be very powerful when someone, an offender, a criminal, is willing to sit down with the people who he committed a crime against, the victims.
That's right.
And talk with them, you know, face to face and honestly about the true impact of the crime that was committed. And I consider this, even if it's Bible-based, to be a very powerful human transformation, potential human transformation process. But I heard Chuck Colson speak a few years ago, and I was with him right up until he made that statement that in order to really forgive and be forgiven, one must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that is what crosses a line for me. And this program was called Interchange in Texas when W was governor, and it was one of his favorite pet projects.
It certainly was. And actually, ironically, in Texas, it didn't get any Texas state government funds. But when Chuck Colson moved that program to Iowa, he did start to get Iowa state funds, and we've been in a lawsuit against him for 3 years. The decision is expected, I hope, within the next 2 months. But what we claimed and what the problem was is that the parents and husbands and girlfriends of prisoners in a particular prison in Iowa were finding that if their loved one wanted to get into this special program that gave you more time with your family, more opportunities to get a job when you got out of the prison, you basically had to sign up for a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week pro-Jesus program, and that indeed you could not even, if you lived in that community, you could not go in on a Sunday afternoon when they did tutoring and volunteer to be a tutor unless you passed Chuck Colson's litmus test about whether you're a good enough Christian. It's shocking, but one of the cornerstones of the president's program is if the organization gets tax dollars and it's a religious organization, it should be able to hire or fire solely on the basis of religious doctrine or belief. And that means you can't even volunteer. And absurdly, as you pointed out earlier, the Department of Homeland Security is now opening a faith-based office. Can you imagine giving money to a church in a hurricane area? We're going to have another bad hurricane season, they say. And the church gets money from the federal government. You come in to volunteer, and somebody says, wait a minute, isn't that that guy who works at Planned Parenthood? And aren't you the guy that works at Planned Parenthood? I'm sorry, but we're not letting you volunteer in our soup kitchen because you have a moral position we don't agree with. That would be perfectly permissible under the president's program, which, as you rightly point out, has never actually been approved by Congress, but is being run through these executive orders that are very difficult to challenge in court, although we're challenging them in a couple of states.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Planned Parenthood, and I wanted to raise this next. South Dakota signed a law last week that bans abortion in virtually all cases. Mississippi has one nearly identical that Haley Barbour is either going to sign or has signed. And so they're laying the groundwork for a showdown at the Supreme Court. Only, as Pat Robertson has learned, they're shy one vote at the moment. And so he's gone back into his prayer mode, hoping for a Supreme Court justice to retire or die. And his timeline is he wants it to happen before the end of this year.
Yes, and he, in fact, indicated that he had kind of gotten a message from God, which he claims to get on a pretty regular basis. And sometimes I've been suspicious about whether the message is coming from Karl Rove or from God, because it's kind of hard in Washington to tell the difference these days. But mm-hmm. he does want this retirement or death or something. Sandra Day O'Connor, of course, has left. She, by the way, on another radio network today, severely criticized conservatives for their arrogant and unfounded criticism of the Supreme Court and of the federal courts. And I think that'll be in people's newspapers tomorrow. But Justice Ginsburg is quite ill. Justice Stevens is about, I think he's now 86, going on 87 years old. So there is a likelihood that this administration will have an opportunity to bring forth another candidate. And I'll tell you, Peter, if we go through the same battles, parsing every word of 250 decisions, we're going to end up with a third appointee from George Bush. Maybe the public needs to ask a different question for the next nominee, and it's something like this. Sir, madam, what have you done during the course of your life to promote justice in America? What have you done to preserve the rights guaranteed to individuals under the Bill of Rights? And if there's no record of passionate concern for the civil rights and civil liberties of the people, maybe that ought to be justification enough for not putting that person on the United States Supreme Court.
Understandable that you missed it, Barry, but Joe Biden did ask that question. It was just buried in a 15-minute monologue.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had briefly dozed off, during that.
Steve in Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Say hello to Barry Lynn.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Hello, sir.
Hi, Steve.
This is from San Jose Mercury News in July of 2001, July 12th, if you want to look it up. Karl Rove, President Bush's senior advisor, was the Salvation Army's first White House contact in its effort to win approval of a regulation allowing religious charities to practice anti-gay workplace bias, administration officials said Wednesday. To secure this commitment, the charity proposed spending nearly $1 million on lobbyists and to support Bush's faith-based initiative, which would increase federal funding of religious charities. The lobbyists it retained included a key player in the Bush presidential campaign and one of the campaign's top fundraisers, et cetera, and it keeps on going on. So are they using taxpayer money to give to the charities so they can give it back to the to their administration?
Well, there's certainly a little of that going around. You know, Bill Frist, Senator Frist, and Senator Rick Santorum both have set up their own charities, but the people who seem to be benefiting most from the charities are friends, family members, and consultants who seem to be getting a lot of these administrative fees. That Salvation Army scandal never went away, really, because the Congress was unwilling to approve of this notion that if you give money to a faith-based group, the faith-based group can discriminate on the basis of pretty much anything they want. But there is also a lawsuit against the Salvation Army in New York City, arguably for that very reason, refusal to hire people on the basis of their alleged moral deficiencies, according
Steve,
to the Salvation
thanks for the
Salvation
call.
Army.
Barry, in 10 seconds, what's on Culture Shocks tonight at 6?
We're doing a movie program tonight. It's by the author of The Snob's Dictionary.
Thank you, Barry Lynn. We're out of time.
Certified estate planner Michelle Ashen of Ashen Senior Resources is issuing a special invitation to her upcoming valuable seminars for seniors and their families. Michelle Ashen is your source for critical information like how to avoid nursing home costs, how to reduce or eliminate taxes on unearned income and at death, whether long-term care insurance is worth it. Michelle Ashen will also teach you how you can increase disposable income, invest in the stock market without risk of capital loss, avoid probate costs and delays, use the new multi-generation Stretch IRA to avoid unnecessary taxation. Michelle Ashen addresses the rights of all seniors and reveals little-known information that can save you thousands. For information regarding Michelle's next seminar, including date, time, and place, or to schedule a free personal consultation, call 641-0236. 641-0236. Remember, knowledge is power, so reserve your seat today. 831-641-0236.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Could it result in a diplomatic headache for the White House? The controversy over that failed plan to have a Dubai company run U.S. ports. President Bush was praising the United Arab Emirates today.
And outside of our own country, Dubai services more of our military ships than any country in the world.
The president called the UAE a valued and strategic partner in the war on terror. It is also a good customer. The UAE recently signed a nearly $10 billion contract with Boeing for 42 jets. The government has made arrests in more than 20 states aimed at breaking up violent gangs. It's a year-long operation that's netted more than 2,000 gang members. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff.
Never before has the federal government used all of its immigration, customs, and criminal authorities in one coordinated fashion in the fight against violent gangs.
In San Diego, a respiratory therapist has confessed to molesting countless young disabled patients. Prosecutors say he sexually abused two children a week, many of his patients too sick to walk or talk. When asked how many children he'd abused, he allegedly responded by asking investigators how many snowflakes are out there. Catholic charities in Massachusetts say they'll quit offering adoption services rather than allow gay couples to adopt children, as state law now permits. A statement from the Boston Archdiocese says church leaders are concerned about child welfare. Arlene Isaacson is with the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus.
It saddens me terribly to think that children will not receive important services in foster care and adoption because of people's prejudices.
Former Atlanta Mayor Bill Campbell could be going to prison. He was acquitted today of accepting bribes, but convicted of tax evasion. Interior Secretary Gail Norton is resigning. She's held the post for 5 years and was criticized by environmentalists for initiatives like opening government lands to more drilling and logging. Dave Slater of the Wilderness Society would like to see a very different successor.
Over the past 5 years, we definitely didn't see a balanced approach to the environment, and especially we didn't see a balanced approach to the way we use our public lands.
NASA has successfully launched another spacecraft into orbit around Mars. It's the most sophisticated of the other orbiters out there, with very powerful cameras.
It joins a family of Mars spacecraft in search for water with amazing
and improved tools.
NASA scientist Colleen Hartman, that spacecraft has traveled over 3 million miles in 7 months. Its mission will end in the year 2010. Some positive economic news out today. Hiring is up, and employers have added about 250,000 jobs in February. On Wall Street today, the Dow Jones Industrials finished up 104 points at 11,076. The NASDAQ was higher by 12 points. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
My name's Belinda, and today's my fifth day with Prilosec OTC. My husband and I used to love to travel until frequent heartburn pulled me off the road. But Prilosec OTC's made all the difference, and it started to work the first day. Now we're headed for Vegas. Imagine zero heartburn for 24 hours with one pill a day. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. It's day five for me. What day are you on?
Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
A former British cabinet minister whose affair with a prostitute brought down the government has died. John Profumo was 91. CBS News reporter Vicky Barker has more from London.
It was the sex scandal that seemed to epitomize swinging London in the 1960s when cabinet minister John Profumo stepped down after lying to Parliament about an affair with a party girl. Historian Anthony Howard says it changed British public life.
It brought an end to the age of deference in politics.
Profumo himself spent the rest of his life working with London's poor, a redemptive epilogue to a political career which ended in such disgrace. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
An orphaned and lonely whale that became a sort of celebrity after falling in love with boats has been killed by a tugboat off Vancouver Island. Luna, the orca whale, got sucked into the propeller. Scientists once tried to reunite Luna with his pod, but that plan was abandoned because the local aboriginals believed the whale was a reincarnation of their late chief. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Hey, it's me, Regis Philbin. When you were a kid, you loved the fun side of Welch's grape juice. You know, the big grape taste, the purple mustache? Well, it turns out there's a surprising side to Welch's, too. Because studies have shown that Welch's 100% grape juice is actually good for your heart. Made from deep purple Concord grapes with no added sugar. Welch's is packed with natural antioxidants, twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. So grab a glass of Welch's 100% grape juice, the most delicious thing you can do for your heart.
Are you making too many trips to the bathroom? Super Prostate Formula reduces nighttime urination and improves sleep. We're so confident that you'll be thrilled with Super Prostate Formula that you can try it free. That's right, free. So call now for your free 30-day trial of Super Prostate Formula and reclaim control. Just pay shipping and handling. Call now. 1-800-421-1790. 1-800-421-1790. 1-800-421-1790.
It's useless to resist us.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. 5:06. We're on KRXA 540. Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Our Eureka listeners are listening to a basketball game today, and that's beyond my control. Coming up shortly, we'll be joined for our weekly visit with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com. He's got oodles of news about electronic voting irregularities, including the Texas county, who conducted a primary on Tuesday and posted 100,000 votes more than they have registered voters. Just one anomaly. Brad will have the details coming up shortly. Also in this hour, we have a weekly visit scheduled with the assembly member from Santa Cruz, Democrat John Laird, who also chairs the Assembly Budget Committee. And he's been in the smoking tent, the cigar tent, with Governor Schwarzenegger. At least that's the image I have, because he sits on the committee that is bargaining with the governor and his representatives over the proposed humongous bond infrastructure package. John Laird, welcome to our program today.
Oh, it's great to be here.
What's your week been like? We last spoke last Friday, and the governor was maybe not going to go to Columbus for the Gladiator thing and the Arnold Classic, but he skipped the Gladiators, did go for the Classic, and then came back and said, we got all week to work this thing out. So what's it been like?
It's just been intense. I was supposed to come home last night and supposed to be down there all day today, and I'm in my Capitol office right now, and I've been with the speaker vetting language, working with staff members, shuttling between the administration and us, working with the Senate, and then in a, also with the Republicans in both the Senate and the Assembly. And there was one day, I believe it was the day before yesterday, where I was in three different meetings with the governor during the day, and I thought that had to be a record total. And it's just, you know, we're on the verge of being able to do this, but we're still not just totally there, and the deadline is technically today, but since nothing was going to happen on Saturday and Sunday toward meeting the deadline, if we act as late as Monday morning, we can still put things on the ballot for June. So we're continuing to work here. The Senate's been called back for 9 o'clock tonight, and we're not 100% sure what they're going to do. And
so we're in sudden death overtime, and the game plan isn't clear.
That's it. I mean, the Assembly, we are, there's a few of us here, but we are on a four-hour call. You have to be someplace where you can be in the Capitol within 4 hours. And the good thing is that the framework that has been worked out, in my view, does not give on major regulatory issues in any significant way, and at the same, which is what the Republican, you know, requests have been.
Yeah, they wanted to waive environmental rules, particularly in the rebuilding of levees in the Delta system.
Well, the governor has sort of waived environmental rules for repairs with his emergency declaration, and so it almost took a key piece of that off the table. At the same time, we have been successful in getting housing and affordable housing in the bond discussions, getting resources into the bond discussions, moving transportation from being totally roads to having a significant share going for public transit. And the education piece is very good. And at this point, there are a few sticking points, but I think we had to be persuaded that there was an incredible victory to be had here, and we believe that what we're talking about provides that. So,
And John Laird, give us the quick snapshot of the current status. How big is the bond package? Is it in multiple pieces, or is everything that you're currently negotiating expected to go on the June ballot if you make that deadline Monday morning?
It would go on the June ballot if we make the Monday deadline, with the possible exception of one education piece that would go on in 2008 as a companion to an education piece passed or at least proposed this year. And then I think there's still some process questions that are open, because if there is a handshake on a deal, then there'll be a question of how precisely to adopt it and put it on the ballot. And my guess is it could be as many as three ballot measures, or it could be one. And it would have all those contents that I described to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be, could we put it in one, or could we put transportation and housing together, education together, and then levies and resources and anything that's water quality related into a third one.
Mm-hmm. And what are the dollar amounts currently being discussed?
Well, we're being still, because they're changing periodically, somewhat circumspect, but it's in the tens of billions of dollars total. And I think that it's something that if you are a progressive person, that you would be pleased with.
Mm-hmm. And what about the trade-offs of using bonds with the 30-year interest expense compared to trying to work those projects through the general fund?
Well, this does in some ways work them through the general fund, but not at the same level. And what the Republicans had originally proposed in the Assembly was a so-called pay-as-you-go plan, and doing it out of the general fund, but starting with 1% coming out of the general fund, and in 15 years having 6% of the general fund go to infrastructure. And that basically means that if something isn't protected in our budget process now, which tends to be health services, environmental protection, and higher education, UC and CSU, that would be crowded out of the budget. And the voters defeated a measure to do that in 2003. And I think it was that crowd out that was the issue. And I think that's why it's not going to be successful at the end of this process.
Mm-hmm. And give us, if you met with the governor three times in one day, is he hands-on? Is he making these decisions and leading the charge? Or is he kind of taking a backseat role to his advisors?
Well, I think he's being somewhat hands-on, but coming off of last fall, I think there's a question of just how much sway he has with other legislators. And, you know, it's my observation that, you know, at times in this process, it was the Assembly Democrats 2 years ago that they were the only ones at the height of his popularity to sort of stand up to him. And now, when his popularity is low, it's kind of ironic. Sometimes we're the only group that will talk to him. So it's a really strange juxtaposition in all this.
And personally, how do you get along with this governor?
I get along with him on a personal basis fine, because I do my best to take it on in the merits. And he even invoked in one of the sessions the effort I did to work to establish the Sierra Nevada Conservancy, because I was just focused and figured out how to be bipartisan and sort of got what I wanted in a very good way, and that he keeps hoping that that is something that we could do here.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, first of all, you sound a little tired. I bet this has been a very rough week, and people should know that our legislators do not get overtime, even when you have sessions that run all night long.
Well, to tell you the real heartbreaking thing that makes that point is in 15 minutes in Los Angeles, the speaker's wedding reception was to start.
Oh,
and
my.
He is going to be here instead.
Wow.
You know, and so you just talk about sort of what it does to personal things and what happens. It just doesn't get any more stark than that. And I have to make a phone call, as long as he's not listening to this radio broadcast in a few minutes, to indicate I probably won't be home tonight. And it's not going to be a fun phone call.
Well, I'm sorry that your weekend has just evaporated, John.
Yeah, well, I think it's for a good purpose. I think we got a shot at pulling something good out of this.
All right, and finally, the politics of it. Have you and your Democratic colleagues put politics aside and said, well, you know, this is something that the voters appear to embrace, and so let's do our best job to make these bond measures work? Or are you looking on the political side, too, and saying this governor is running for re-election, or actually for election to his first full term in November, and we don't want to give him too much of a victory here?
Well, you know, that's a really hard question, because in some ways people don't want to give him a victory after last November's debacle and what happened there. But at the same time, we have a chance to sort of invest in education and invest in water quality and do a great leap forward for public transportation and for parks and resources and affordable housing. And it's pretty hard to do anything but work for the public interest when you're dealing with that. And that's just sort of where we are right now.
All right, sir. Well, sorry about your weekend. I would make that call for you if it would help.
That might make it worse.
I'd make it worse. Okay.
But thanks, Peter. I'll talk to you again next week.
Next week, John Laird, Democrat from Santa Cruz, working hard at the state capitol for us. 5:16 now. We'll continue in just a moment and be joined by Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with a litany of electronic voting stories for you. That's coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Doing in the market working for you? Are you happy with the results? Are you making money? Sundays at 2 p.m., KRXA is proud to present a new show entitled Safe Money and Retirement Talk, hosted by R.J. Moyer of About College Funding and the Protect My Assets Radio Network. RJ will present the latest information necessary to help you protect your money and ensure a comfortable retirement. Join RJ Moyet every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. for Safe Money and Retirement Talk, right here on KRXA 540.
This Sunday on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Linda Gerchick, CCIM. She'll explain why Phoenix, Arizona is the best place to invest in. Hear how she's helped thousands of people increase their net worth by investing in Arizona real estate. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, now heard from Big Sur to Eureka and out to Stockton. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for all your real estate needs every Sunday morning at 10. Check us out on the web at www.rockrollandrealestate.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic, snow, ice, sleet, rain, a lot of challenges on your Friday drive home. Here's Amy Knight.
Yeah, and it's Friday. You're deciding to head out of town, maybe doing a little traveling toward the Sierra. Chains are required on Highway 80, 50, 88, 4, and 108, so make sure you bring those chains along with you. Highway 17 clear right now through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Highway 101 is a very slow Coyote Creek Golf Drive down toward Cochrane Road in Morgan Hill. Earlier crash 152 at San Felipe Road in Gilroy is cleared, but still an injury accident. Berwick at Carmel Valley Road. We're still waiting for tow trucks to arrive. No microwaves, no freezers, just 100% fresh ingredients cooked to order for quality you can taste. In and out, that's what a hamburger is all about. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a rush hour. How fast are you going? I'm Peter B. Collins, your humble host here on the show they named after me. It's 21 minutes past the hour. And we're going to talk with Brad Friedman in just a moment, but Marianne has been calling since the beginning of the show, and I'm the kind of guy who doesn't have that cynical, hard-nosed attitude toward people who call talk shows. I feel for you when you call up, you want to talk, and you spend a lot of time on hold. Marianne, welcome to the program today.
Good afternoon. It's been lovely being on hold.
Well, and if you'd call just a little bit earlier, I was going to try to plug you in with the assemblyman because you have an interesting idea.
Well, he sounded just shot, and I thought one more thing he doesn't need. But I'm going to put this out because I think it's too logical, so the government, of course, won't do it. But there is talk of the decommission of the aircraft carrier JFK. That was on your news today,
mm-hmm.
National news. Why can't they float it into New Orleans and park it
it'll sleep 6,000 in shifts. It's
right.
got everything to make it self-sufficient. They can pipe in water from wherever New Orleans was getting their water anyway. And tugboats can take away sewage and garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And there are I don't know what the military term is, but briefing rooms all over the place can be used for school rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chapel. There is an upper deck, and there's a way lower deck, and people could just take turns with the janitorial stuff.
Well, I think it's an interesting idea. You know, there was a cruise ship
yeah.
that FEMA leased and parked there off, along the shore of New Orleans, and police officers and other responders were living on it, but they pulled the plug on that, and the ship sailed, I think, last week.
I know, but it was costing a bloody fortune. If they're decommissioning the JFK anyway,
right?
We already own it.
Okay, it's a brilliant idea. I think you ought to ring up Sam Farr's office.
Yeah, I know him slightly. I've knew his father, knew him. I grew mm-hmm. up in Monterey.
Yeah.
And one other thing, if and when the Ninth Ward gets rebuilt, they can just float the JFK up to where the levee broke. And sink it.
You got it all figured out. Thanks, Marianne.
I'm just too logical.
And thanks for the info you sent me in the bumper stickers, too.
Oh, good. You got it.
Them.
Did you get the thing on Prince Bandar?
Yes, and I'm aware of some of it. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing, but thank you for the Saudi intelligence.
Oh, that one's been sticking in my mind for years, and I thought it's time. So.
Okay, great. Thanks
okay.
for the call.
Bye.
Now to Brad, the proprietor of BradBlog.com. Brad Friedman joins us every week, and he sent me two apologetic emails today because there is so much stuff going on in Brad's world. You don't need to apologize. You don't create this stuff. You just report it.
Well, I know that, but there's so damn much of it, I hate to overload everyone's email boxes, but man, how can you not get the word out about what's been going on this week?
Well, you're on top of one of the most important stories, at least in my opinion, in our era, because the you know, honesty and fairness, the integrity of our elections is a fundamental right of Americans, and it's been violated because, you know, we don't know if we can trust our election systems. And now you have more disturbing news. Let's start off with Texas. This is a juicy one. They had their primary on Tuesday, and many of us were disappointed that Tom DeLay got 62% of the vote in his Sugar Land district. But there were electronic voting machines involved. And in one Texas county, Brad, you report that an electronic voting system added an extra 100,000 votes to the count.
100,000 extra votes, that's correct. And I should point out that was the Hart InterCivic company down there in Tarrant County, Texas. I will be having more on Hart InterCivic and indeed some news from a Hart InterCivic whistleblower, just to put the Hart folks on notice, very shortly, and in specific in regards to Tarrant County. So, yes, 100,000 extra votes. As usual, these companies and these counties are incredibly secret. What they say is that it affected all the candidates equally, and through some magic formula, they were able to remove the 100,000 extra votes, and we've got nothing to worry about down there in Tarrant County.
The public was never in any danger.
Right. Uh-huh. There's nothing to worry about. These aren't the droids you're looking for, as
I
they
see.
Say. Now, keep in mind, that was not, and Tarrant County, by the way, is Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
So that was not, unfortunately, the only problem that occurred on Tuesday night in Texas. There are reams of reports now coming out, tons of them that came out just on Wednesday after the primary election. Usually I have found that the real problems don't even occur for some days, perhaps some weeks, and in some cases months or years later. But on Tuesday, the morning papers were filled with all kinds of e-voting glitches, as they like to call them, glitches, hiccups, snafus, and they always blame, of course, the poll workers. It's never the problem of the actual machines. Although, to Hart's credit, Hart InterCivic's credit, in Tarrant County, they said they admitted that they screwed up. It was a programming error on their fault, on their part. So,
Ed, you know, you lefty bloggers
yeah.
just go off and, you know, you get one example of an anomaly, and you go crazy. Because I'm looking at Brad Blog right now, and the glitches in Texas only occurred in Galveston County, Jefferson County, Robertson County, Tom Green County, Webb County, and Bexar County. So what's your bitch?
I know, and I have to go out and make a big damn deal about it. I don't know what's wrong with me.
So if you could generalize across those different counties, and in your links you show that different machines were used in different places, is it memory cards? Is it overvotes? What's the general pattern there? And you have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, the fact is we don't know. They were all different kinds of errors, different kinds of reporting errors, and one very close race down there in Webb County. Once again, computers went down, and when they came back up, they had different totals. Took hours longer to get the counts out than it was supposed to. All kinds of glitches, hiccups, and snafus. We can pick it up after the break.
Very good. Brad Friedman's my guest. Bradblog.com is where you get all the information. He's with us till 6 o'clock, and your calls are welcome. 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Show. Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m., we'll explore Monterey Bay regional wine and food, markets, restaurants, menus, and prices. I'll interview winemakers, chefs, and other key players. We'll put food and wine together, and then we'll take them apart. If it's handcrafted beer or goat's milk and it's good, let's talk about it. Join me every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. to discuss food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay region, and especially delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Finding answers to questions about a woman's health can be difficult, but the women of Monterey County will soon have an opportunity to get the information they need. I'm Assemblymember Simone Salinas, and I'm sponsoring a Women's Health Summit along with several organizations. This free event will take place from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. on Saturday, March 25th at Hartnell College in Salinas. For more details, call my office at 831-759-8676.
Yes, this electronic voting thing has gone crazy.
Someone's gonna get killed out there, and I turn to her and say, Texas.
Yes, Texas is the nexus.
She says, well, I said, Texas. She says, well,
it's our weekly visit with Brad from bradblog.com. And as we told you just before the break, there were some anomalies in electronic voting in the primary in the Lone Star State of Texas just this past Tuesday. And let's drill down a little further in Webb County, Brad, because that's where Congressman Cuellar defeated Rodriguez, and that was a very tight race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and I believe that Rodriguez lost to Cuellar in 04 by something like 56 votes.
Wow.
And actually that happened, as I understand it, after a recount where Rodriguez had been ahead, but... some new votes suddenly showed up in 04 during that recount that ended up putting Cuellar ahead by 54 votes. It was also notable down there because there is no Republican running in that race. That's only Democrats vying for that seat down there, and so it is said about Cuellar that he is a dino, as they say, a Democrat in name only.
Yeah, he is very conservative.
Yeah, and so it is thought that the Republicans down there in that county had good reason to support him.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of details down in those weeds about what happened on that, on that night, and when I can give you, a lot of reports about a lot of things, but until I get something that I feel better reporting on, I'll hold off on getting too deep into those web weeds, so to
gotcha.
Speak.
Now, a little bit later on, I want to talk about our friend Ian Sancho and his battle against Diebold there in Tallahassee, Florida. But why don't we talk about Ohio next? You have a blog item here that 30% of ES&S voting machines failed a recent test in Ohio, and then there was an update that they got it down to 10%.
Yeah, isn't that great?
They're on their way to perfection.
I wanted to point this out because earlier in the hour, I think I heard you say that Brad Friedman is coming up with everything you wanted to know about electronic voting, and I could almost hear everyone turning off their radios and going elsewhere. But I should point out that we try to make electronic voting, which would normally be a rather arcane topic, I think, we try to make it somewhat entertaining over at the Brad blog. So.
You.
This and another story we'll have to hit about something that happened in Florida on Tuesday is an example of that. Yeah, ES&S, things are looking up for them. They did they've been doing pre-election tests in Summit County, Ohio. Now, between ES&S and Diebold, they count more than 80% of America's votes. And yet it looks like these memory cards that they're using in the ES&S machines are so faulty that they actually had to cancel the first two rounds of testing because all the memory cards they were using to count and store the votes on these optical scan machines kept failing, some 30%. So they stopped the test. They went to a second batch, and those all failed. And finally, the company themselves, ES&S, had to fly in third time's a charm, I suppose, had to fly in a whole new batch of memory cards, and only 10% of those cards failed. And there was an interesting exchange that John Gideon actually covered this for us today that he had with the reporter of the Akron Beacon Journal who has been reporting on this, doing a great job, by the way, Lisa Abraham. He had asked her, here's a county who's actually testing these things. How many problems around the country and elsewhere in Texas, as we talked about, they use these ES&S optical scan machines. How many cases do we have where the bad cards are not being reported and are actually causing all of these problems that we've just been talking about? And the reporter wrote back to John Gideon to say she hasn't been able to get an answer, basically, from ES&S. They just won't reply, or they won't say, or they won't call back. So, you know, Diebold has been getting a whole lot of attention of late, and deservedly so. But I've got this week reams of stories on ES&S, mm-hmm. on Hart InterCivic, on Sequoia, all of whom, frankly, have gotten a pretty free ride because of all the focus that has been on Diebold. And
yeah.
we reason to believe ES&S is no better than Diebold, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Now, what can you tell us about these memory cards failing? Because the technical term is magnetic media. And in most cases, I mean, flash drives and other storage devices like that that I've used have never had a flaw.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, but there are problems with these, and depending on where they come from, it's hard to know. Are they out and out just failing? They're not, you know, allowing read-write access, or are they allowing access, but, you know, at some point they have a one of those infamous glitches, hiccups, or snafus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. And because these voting machines are all so proprietary, I was talking to someone today, actually, who came to a demonstration out here in Los Angeles County, of some new voting equipment from one particular vendor. They couldn't tell me which one because they actually had to sign a confidentiality agreement, non-disclosure agreement, before going in to look at these machines to sort of test them and give them a run for the L.A. County Registrar out here. And they are not allowed to speak about anything that they saw at this, you know, at this demonstration. Now, these are, you know, America. This is America's votes, and these machines are being paid for by American tax dollars. And this meeting was on a was on public property with you know, public election officials on the clock, presumably being paid to be at these demonstrations, and yet Americans have to sign non-disclosure agreements before they're able to look at them with companies like Diebold and Sequoia and ES&S. It's mind-boggling.
Brad, you have a late breaking item from Ohio this afternoon that a third election official has been indicted related to the 2004 presidential vote.
And this is something that, you know, a lot of people, if they are paying enough attention to realize what happened in the 2004 presidential election, they may or may not know that there was a recount of Ohio because the Green parties and the Libertarian Party stood up and demanded one. The Democrats, of course, did not. They demanded a recount, but this recount was gamed to within an inch of its life. There is no reason to believe that there was an actual recount, because apparently what they did in all of these counties was they pre-selected the precincts that they were going to recount. Now, Ohio law requires that these be chosen at random, and they specifically were not. And the Green Party and the Libertarians have since been challenging in court how this recount was done, and they're still asking for an actual, a real recount. Well, it turns out last August, two officials in Cuyahoga County were indicted for, in fact, doing exactly that, gaming the recounts, picking specific ballots that would be counted and which ones wouldn't. And today, a third one was indicted. So, you know, for those of us who say that there's nothing here, it's conspiracy theory, it's nonsense, if you actually pay attention to the news, it would seem to back up folks, conspiracy theorists like myself, because these guys are getting arrested for having done exactly what we charged them with doing so many months ago.
And, Brad, you mentioned that John Kerry failed to activate his rights to demand a full recount, or at least the recount process to be triggered in Ohio. And yesterday, David Cobb, the Green Party candidate, was on our show again. And I just want to mention that tonight he is speaking in Carmel at the Universalist Church. That's on Aguajita Road, and I think it starts at 7 or 8 o'clock.
And so, isn't he great?
He is. He's a lot of fun and has a great sense of humor, but he's a highly motivated leader and activist, and I really enjoyed spending time with him yesterday.
He's aces.
Yeah.
Really. And, and a hero for doing what he did there out there in Ohio, as far as
absolutely. And he should share that with Michael Badnarik, who was the Libertarian Party candidate. And he and Cobb came through where the Democrats failed us. We're going to take a break and return with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to talk about the situation in Florida where Ion Sancho, the registrar of voters in Leon County, which is Tallahassee, has an interesting battle going with the Diebold Corporation. Details coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time, and if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of a 2006 Nissan Titan 4x4 pickup truck. This is a beefy, deluxe pickup that claims the largest interior of any half-ton truck. Think of it as an SUV with a short bed for cargo. The Titan is powered by a muscular 5.6-liter fuel-injected V8 and has a 5-speed automatic with on-the-fly 4-wheel drive. We put the Titan to work with a load of firewood, and it performed beautifully as we hauled it up the steep obstacle course we call my driveway. At the same time, the sheer size of the Titan made for a tight fit in narrow places. Inside, it's roomy and well-appointed, with all the gadgets you'd expect. Power seats, windows and locks, a high-powered sound system, and a backup alarm that's handy with a truck this size. By the numbers, the Nissan Titan 4x4 gets 14 miles in the city, 18 on the highway, and stickers in California for just under $40,000. KRXA 540, taking one more look at traffic on this Friday afternoon. Here's Amy Knight.
Problems in Watsonville. Eastbound 129 east of Murphy's Crossing is blocked with a vehicle that struck a tree and then overturned. Looks like that car on its side now, and you'll find emergency crews on scene. But again, the eastbound lane of 129 blocked. The westbound lane is open. It's still slow on southbound 101 from Coyote Creek Golf Drive down toward Cochran Road in Morgan Hill. No problems to report on 101 further down the roadway. Salinas down toward Greenfield and Gonzales, and 68 looking good as you're making your way from Monterey over into the Pebble Beach area. Sylvan Learning Center, learning feels good. Call 1-800-EDUCATE today. Have a safe drive home. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. Coming up right after 6 o'clock, it's Barry Lynn, who was on our show earlier, Culture Shocks, here on KRXA. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, right here on KRXA 540, as we continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Go to the blog and read all about the issues we're talking about today. And Brad, you and I each have a high regard for Ion Sancho, and I know each of us has talked with him on many occasions over the last few years. He's a real stalwart in the fight for free, fair elections and trying to eliminate political interference and the weaknesses that we attribute to electronic voting machines. And as you describe in the blog this week, he's got himself in quite a pickle because he is caught between the federal Help America Vote Act, an unfriendly Secretary of State who is now an appointed person appointed by Governor Jeb Bush, and his limiting or I guess Diminishing choices of electronic voting machine vendors has driven him back to try to force Diebold to honor their contracts. Explain all this.
Yeah, this is just an extraordinary story, and you're right. Ayn Sancho is a hero, an absolute hero, and the work that he did down there, he is the one who back in December allowed some security experts to computer security experts to come in and demonstrate how they could hack the memory cards on the Diebold optical scan machines, and in fact they were successful and flipped the vote down there in a mock election without a trace being left behind. The thanks that he has gotten for that, at least in the state of Florida, is unbelievable. First, he announced he would never do business with Diebold in the county again, given that test. Not that he wouldn't do business with them, but that he would never use Diebold equipment in that county again, since Diebold had assured him previously that this hack that they successfully did couldn't happen. So they lied to Ayn Sancho. That said, there are only three vendors who are certified in the state of Florida: Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia. After the Diebold hack occurred, ES&S promised that they would be able to deliver all new equipment to Sancho to run in this year's elections, only to contact him just before the end of the year, I think 2 days before January 1, 2006, which happens to be the deadline for the Help America Vote Act for counties to have contracts with these vending voting machine companies. And they said, oh, sorry, we're not going to be able to supply you in time for your elections. Now, that was nonsense because they had already, since committing to Sancho, they had went ahead and signed a contract with Volusia County. And then just a couple of weeks ago, with Maryland mired in the muck on all of this, ES&S has said, we will be able to supply your entire state with voting machines if you want to dump your Diebold touchscreen paperless machines. So they have the equipment. They just don't want to do business with Sancho. His last option was Sequoia, the Sequoia Voting Systems Company. They, too, their local rep, told them that they'd be able to deliver a contract. And the day they were supposed to deliver it, it never came. And finally, Sancho had to go back to him and found out that, in fact, the higher-ups at Sequoia had also decided they could not do business with Sancho. So all three companies refused to do business with him, and the reasons are mysterious. Either they're all colluding to punish him, as far as I can tell, for daring to, you know, test the Diebold equipment. Either that, or they just don't want Sancho to put their machines through the same thing he put the Diebold machines through. In either case, I still got you?
Yep.
Okay.
Some clicks there. Let's just pause for a second. That's Benny. Benny is our minder at the National Security Agency.
Yeah.
And the poor guy has to strap on headphones and listen to every minute of the Peter B. Collins show every day. So we occasionally pause just to acknowledge Benny and his service to the nation. Do proceed.
You know, if they would get together, they have to have one guy listening for your show, one guy listening to my phone calls. They should just you know, get together on Fridays and give one of them an hour off at least. Anyway, so all three companies refuse to do business with them, and yet, as you suggest, Jeb Bush's cronies there in the Secretary of State office are now threatening Sancho with removal from office unless he can come up with voting equipment for the primary elections coming up this year.
I've got a whole box of pencils here.
Yeah, well, that would work, except you can't use them in Florida. State law now won't allow them to use paper ballots and handwritten paper ballots, hand-counted paper ballots. They've got this thing gamed left and right. Now, around the country, folks regard Sancho as a hero. In fact, out here in California, because of Sancho's test, the state of California launched their own independent analysis and found out everything that Sancho had revealed was true, and they've implemented additional security procedures. They did the same thing. Actually, we were on the air last Friday when even Florida sent out a warning about electronic voting fraud through memory cards to all of their counties, although they didn't mention Diebold by name, and they certainly didn't mention Sancho by name. So, he's really a hero for revealing all of this stuff everywhere, it seems, except in the offices of Diebold, I guess, and ES&S in Sequoia, mm-hmm. and down there in the state of Florida, where they're trying to run this guy out. He's an elected official, mind you, and they're trying to run him out of a job simply because he felt he had a responsibility to his constituents to make sure their elections were fair and transparent and honest.
Well, and you can just imagine the churning in Ian Sancho's stomach as he has to confront the limited choices available to him and to go back to Diebold and basically try to shame them into honoring their contract with Leon County. That had to be a distasteful step for Mr. Sancho.
You bet. It was not easy for him to do, but he was left with no choices, and yet Diebold would not even talk to him. They would not deliver the software that they had promised to deliver. So guess what? He's fighting back on behalf of the voters of Leon County. He has given, I believe it was on, well, I've lost track of the days. I think Tuesday or Wednesday, he has given Diebold 30 days notice that he intends to sue them for breach of contract unless they immediately explain why they have failed to deliver on what their contract implies they must. Mm-hmm. So he is fighting back, and I'm going to have his back as much as I can because, I mean, we need heroes like this as election supervisors around the country who are looking out for the voters instead of the voting machine companies.
Well, and it's not a high-tech lynching, but it is a high-tech screwing. They really are giving the shaft to Ian Sancho.
You know, since we're running short on time here, and boy, you'd think coming on once a week we'd have plenty of time to get through everything, but not the case these days. So I want to make sure that I guess we can call it a funny story, since we haven't mentioned too much Sequoia here.
Go right ahead.
On Tuesday, got a quick hit item. You can check it out on Brad blog. Found this buried in a St. Petersburg Times story on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday on Thursday, they had elections as well there last Tuesday. And we've got a case where a candidate for a small office went to vote for himself in Pinellas County, Florida on a Sequoia touchscreen machine. Went to vote for himself, and what do you know? His vote flipped to his opponent.
Right before his eyes?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Candidate votes for self. Sequoia touchscreen voting machine flips vote to opponent. That's my headline on that.
And, of course, they immediately corrected that?
Well, they kept trying to, but they couldn't. And so they had to move him to another machine. Now, if any old voter who wasn't a candidate for office would have gotten that same treatment, I don't know. But these are the machines, the Sequoia touchscreen machines, that I believe it was just last week, the entire state of New Mexico, Governor Richardson out there, banned these machines for exactly that. We have had loads of reports of Sequoia touchscreen voting machines doing exactly that. We had, tons of affidavits after 2004 down in New Mexico of people attempting to vote. And that was a very close state, mind you,
in
New Mexico.
Yeah.
We have tons of folks who have filed affidavits saying they tried to vote for John Kerry and it flipped to George Bush. I'm not sure we have any affidavits of anybody trying to vote for George Bush and having it flipped to John Kerry, but I'm quite certain that is merely a coincidence.
Yeah, that is amazing. Just amazing. And the candidate must have been a little shocked, and maybe it changed his position on electronic voting machines.
Yeah, I hope so. I have been so buried with so many things, and I'll have, I believe, a number of rather large stories for you next week that I haven't gotten to look any deeper into that one. Yeah, I'd love to talk to this guy. Cook is his name down there in Pinellas County, and see how he feels about that and if he has a position now on these electronic voting machines, which, by the way, all over the country now, people are finally getting it. Maryland House, this is on the front page of the Washington Post today, the Maryland House, which was Maryland, the state of Maryland, was a showcase state for paperless touchscreen voting machines for Diebold. Their House yesterday voted 137-0 to ban paperless D-bold touchscreen voting in 2006.
Hooray. Somebody's getting the message.
They are getting the message. It should have just been a hell of a lot faster, and it should have been a hell of a lot more people than me and a handful of others bothering to let folks know about this, frankly.
Brad, about 45 seconds. Anything new with Bruce McPherson? I mean, does he exist to begin with?
The elusive Bruce McPherson. Yeah, I hear actually he's going to be appearing somewhere on March 27th in Anaheim or something, and hopefully there'll be some friendly faces out there to tell him hello. No, nothing new yet, but I hope to have something next week about what a clear violation of California state law it was when he recertified Diebold in the state. Frankly, I've been, you know, trying to cover my across my T's and dot my I's to make sure I got it right, but it looks to me undisputably like Bruce McPherson has violated California state law in recertifying Diebold out here.
Sit on that. And, Brad, get a life, will you?
I'm going to try.
Take a little time off.
I could use it.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us today.
You too, my friend. Have a good one.
Talk to you next week, Brad.
Happy trails to you.
Yeah, Trigger's here, so I'm going to gallop off into the sunset. Thanks for listening. We'll be back Monday at 3 on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Are you looking for money for college? Every year, billions of dollars in financial aid go unclaimed because parents just don't know how to properly access those funds. Mistakes are made in filling out applications, deadlines are overlooked, and ultimately it's the student who loses out on desperately needed funds. R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com, offers solutions to your financial aid dilemma.
If you're the parent of a college-bound high school junior or senior, critical deadlines are rapidly approaching, and we do specialize in late-stage college funding planning. Regardless of your income, assets, or home equity, I can help you send your child to the college of his or her choice without spending your life savings. But you must take action now.
AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. Call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. There's breaking news at this hour that American hostage Tom Fox has apparently been killed. He was the only American among four Christian peacemakers kidnapped in Iraq in November. The FBI has verified that his body was discovered this morning in Iraq. Fox was missing from a video of the hostages broadcast earlier this week. The group holding the men had demanded that all Iraqi prisoners be freed from U.S. and Iraqi detention facilities. After all of the controversy over a Dubai-owned company wanting to control some U.S. ports, President Bush was reminding Americans today that the United Arab Emirates is a valued ally in the war on terror.
I'm committed to strengthening our relationship with the UAE and explaining why it's important to Congress and the American people.
Mr. Bush called the UAE a partner and one that services U.S. military ships. There's a new and very sophisticated spacecraft orbiting Mars at this hour.
Right on the money.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
The entire mission depended on this one moment, putting the spacecraft into orbit. As the moment of truth got closer, scientists were a bit nervous, like project scientist Rich Zurich.
Are you nervous?
Anxious.
Inside mission control, they were waiting for a sign of success. When they got it,
we have two-way Doppler, and MRO is in orbit around the planet Mars.
It was a celebration. Now they have an orbiter which they believe will give them new insights about Mars. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California.
A San Diego prosecutor calls it the worst case imaginable involving child molestation. A California therapist who works with disabled children was arraigned today, as KFWB-TV's Heather Lucas reports.
54-year-old Wayne Bliley pleaded not guilty to 2 counts of child molestation and 24 counts of child pornography involving patients under his care. Those patients at a convalescent facility are children, some of them brain damaged, unable to feed themselves. Prosecutors say Bliley confessed to molesting and photographing countless children over a 10-year period. Prosecutors say one investigator asked him how many children he had abused. Bliley was looking out at the snow at the time and said, I don't know how many snowflakes are out there.
The federal deficit in February was at the highest level ever for a single month. Bob Fuss has that story.
All those tax refund checks always send government spending up in